and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty. That flag doesn't belong to any president. It doesn't belong to any ideology. It doesn't belong to any party. It belongs to all the American people. There is not a black America and a white America. There's the United States of America. The future doesn't belong to fear. It belongs to freedom. Son or daughter who's serving this country heroically in Iraq calls, you tell them hope is on the way.
In all due respect, Mr. President, read my lips. Our vote is not for sale.
For the brave men and women in uniform who risk their lives and for their families who pray for their return. For all those who believe that our best days are ahead of us, with great faith in the American people, I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
I'm getting choked up listening to the montage. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here. It's with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
I'm literally tearing up because of all of the different fragments of all the different speeches. They were just the right ones. I'm tearing up. It's unbelievable. Dan Pashman, son of Lyndon Lewis Pashman of New Jersey,
put that together.
Put that together for us on the fly this morning.
Do you got an applause track for the man?
Sure I do. This is for Dan Pashman.
Whoops.
Oh, no, we don't. Not yet. We're having a little...
But we'll get it for him.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Because he deserves it.
He definitely does, man. He was like, he just locked in and focused down and said, I'm putting this together. It's so great to hear all those greatest hits of the convention all lined up in a row.
Behind that, with
that song behind it, what a great song. What a great choice of songs. What a great acceptance speech of Kerry last night. Unbelievable.
It was really well done. It was extremely smart. What he did was smart.
The intelligence of the entire convention was mind-blowing. The diversity, the intelligence, the sophistication, the unifying themes,
They
were just, I thought it worked. Everything was great except for CNN's intrusion.
Hold on, don't talk about them. I got something for them later.
All right. let me say on a positive spin, you know. On a positive note, like, I had to watch Kerry's speech twice, man. I had to watch it twice because I brought, as I think most people did, you brought a lot of expectations to it.
Yeah.
We've had 3 days of build-up. We've had some great opening acts. We've had some great politicians speak. We've had a lot of great, you know, just inspirational moments throughout this entire week that even with CNN, they couldn't ruin it. Even with them, you know, allowing, you know, Republican douchebags into the room to comment on things, they couldn't even ruin it. So a lot of expectations, all right, from Kerry. That's what I was. And the first time I watched it, you know, at 2:30 this morning when I got up. I was like, my first response was like, oh, no. Oh, I'm like, because there's some part of me that was so, my expectations were so high, right? And I was, you know, I was trying to get ready to go and everything else. And then I got to the office and I watched the whole thing again without them and said, well, this is the John Kerry that I know. This is the John Kerry that you have to, he was very deliberate. He's very, you know, forthright. He's an authentic guy. He's got his own groove. You listen to him and he hit every point. He addressed every issue that George Bush would even think of addressing, but has nothing to back it up. He addressed, you know, strength. He addressed security. He addressed the economy. He addressed, you know, corporate greed. He addressed, like, and more. And we're going to go over that stuff point for point, but he covered everything, and I found him to be, you know, very present, you know, and very powerful.
He hit broad themes. He took some risks also. in speaking very, very strongly to national security. He risked possibly alienating some of the DENIAC, Naderite type people. But I think that he didn't go too far in explaining that he would be prepared to use force if necessary.
Right.
And speaking to the national security concerns of many of those undecided voters and independent voters in the swing states like Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, these places where you've got a lot of people who have been hurt economically,
yeah,
but were worried about John Kerry on the issue of national security. He spoke to that issue. He spoke to it forcefully. And I think he probably allayed a lot of concerns, which is why you saw so many Republican spinmeisters in the media immediately following, particularly both Edwards' speech and Kerry's speech, trying to refute as best they could. And by the way, they did not do it well from what I saw. Ed Gillespie had nothing. Ralph Reed had nothing.
And then, of course, Blitzer and Woodruff had balloon problems.
Right after
Kerry's speech. So why, usually there's supposed to be balloons coming down. We're going to play a little bit of that afterwards. But why they put... The only good thing about putting Ed Gillespie on that screen on CNN after the speech was to see how panicked he looked.
Yeah.
You know, you could see the fear in his eyes because the Republicans have nothing. They got nothing. They got nothing. What do you... I asked Colin Quinn. I was on Colin Quinn's show last night. I said, mm-hmm, come on, tell me a few things. Tell me the good things that Bush has done. They got nothing. What do they got? They got nothing. The economy? No. The Iraq situation? No. Afghanistan is starting to blow up? No. Have they got anything about health care? No.
And this is the head of the Republican National Committee, Ed Gillespie.
They sold this country
on national television and could do the best. Well, you know, he's been wishy-washy. He's flip-flopped on this. He's flip-flopped on that. He couldn't even sell that extreme makeover nonsense, which was the theme of the Republican spin throughout the convention. He couldn't even sell that.
Yeah. And Kerry just looks right in the camera and says, Mr. President, let's try and keep this decent.
Yeah.
You remember? I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Well, but you know what that does? That defines the rules of engagement. Any military guy will be the first one to tell you. You have an advantage when you define the terms of engagement with their enemy. And what John Kerry did very smartly last night was to say, okay, Mr. President, now to an incumbent sitting president,
yeah,
Mr. President, this is how I'm going to play this game.
Right.
I hope you play it that way.
I'll quote him directly. My friends, the high road may be harder, but it leads to a better place.
Uh-oh.
Bam! Let's see if you can do that. There was no sound bites in terms of, like, simplicity, you know, just pandering like Bush is going to do. Just being, it's amazing to me, the New York Post is, I think the headline is something about Bush.
Bashing Bush.
You know what? It's amazing how quickly bullies become babies when they're cornered. Who's whining now? All the comments, you know, all the comments that Republicans have made against liberals, they're so whiny. You know what? We're not. You know what we are? We're complex. We understand the complicities of things, you know, that things are that require a little more discourse than, like, you know, hey, we're going to smoke them out. We want to entertain broader ideas and maybe, you know, flesh them out in a debate like a democratic people are supposed to do, you dummies. I can't believe what wussies the Republicans turned out to be when they're cornered because they got nothing but fear. And they think that might is strength, and they think that fear is love, and they're just full of shame and hate and narrow-mindedness. The reason that George Bush appeals to them is because he represents everything they aspire to. Lying, greedy, selfish, frightened people. And now they're just a bunch of whiny babies. Hey, quit bashing Bush. He's not a victim. He's the president, and he screwed up, and he's got to go.
Don't hold back.
I'm sorry.
It's
so early for this.
No. You know what it is? I mean, when you start talking about complexity, what? I'm the war president? That's about as complex as this guy has gotten in the last 3 years, to be honest.
Yeah, if he's the war president, why is he whining? Bush bashing, they took the language from, you know, from gay bashing, and now they try to make this guy look like, don't bash Bush. He's the president. And there was no bashing in Kerry's speech last night. He was critical of President Bush's alignment with corporate interests. He was critical of President Bush's, you know, alignment with the pharmaceutical industry. He was critical of President Bush's ideas about privatizing Social Security. He was critical of, you know, we're going to go over it point for point. We're going to play some Kerry sound. We're
got plenty of it.
We're going to, you know, really going to get into this. We're also going to play some highlights because I could use an Obama buzz and maybe a Sharpton rush. We got a great show coming. Stay with us here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at airamericaradio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through airamericaradio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at airamericaradio.com and help support Air America.
I'll take the Mayhem in the AM breakfast special. What do I get with that? No. The Mayhem in the AM. The great morning show, it's... What the... No, the one with Steak Shapiro, Mike Bell, and Nick Cellini. No, it's guy talk. Morning sports with an edge. Oh, my God, come on!
Mayhem in the AM. Sports talk anyone can understand. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sirius Sports Action 123.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tray, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Dinner time in America. For far too many families, that means it's time for ketchup soup. You've got nothing else to feed hungry mouths. You take boiling water, add half a cup of ketchup, and presto, ketchup soup. Because when kids are hungry enough, they'll eat anything. 1 in 5 American children is living with hunger. Sometimes ketchup soup is the best their parents can do. To fight child hunger, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS. The sooner you believe it, the sooner we can end it. Brought to you by the Ad Council, America's Second Harvest, and Feeding Children Better.
So tonight in the city where America's freedom began, only a few blocks from where the sons and daughters of liberty gave birth to our nation, here tonight, on behalf of the new birth of freedom, on behalf of the middle class who deserve a champion and those struggling to join it who deserve a fair shot, for the brave men and women in uniform who risk their lives and for their families who pray for their return, for all those who believe that our best days are ahead of us with great faith in the American people, I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
I didn't hear an ounce of pessimism. I didn't hear any pessimism. I heard a guy that unified the Democratic Party, that brought a lot of people together, that created a message of hope. I think it's tremendous. The only thing that I have a problem with is the idea that the news media thinks that they are there to think for us. And also they are there to treat politicians like they're athletes. That, you know, politicians are what they are. They are what we elect, and we rely on them to have an effective social debate and to present their ideas to us without without a filter. These dummies, these posers, these sycophants on CNN, on MSNBC, Wolf Blitzer, Judy Dummy, all of them, you know, that think that they can sit there and without even taking it in on a heart level, you know, and make assessments of a speech that was meant for the American people to assess on their own, and these dummies get in the way. Who are they? Who are they? What gives them the credentials to start judging the people that are supposed to run our country? It is not the media's job to run our country. It is not the media's job to make flash commentary and grade political speeches on a point system. Let the American people process it on their own. Get out of the way.
Too much money. Sorry, can't do. Well, too much money. Do you realize 15,000 media people? None of them make a minimum wage.
Well, how about doing the work? How about doing the research? How about doing some reporting? You know, what's going to happen 4 years from now? They're going to hold up numbers like they do at gymnastic events and just flip over 7.4, 6.5.
Yep.
And then, like, the whole idea of CNN being a liberal news outlet, a liberal media outlet.
Come on, don't go too deep into CNN. Maybe stealing my thunder, Marin.
I'm sorry. Let's talk about Kerry. It just annoys me. I mean, we are a radio station. We give our opinions of things. People tune in to hear talk radio, to hear people talk. You know, personally, I don't care what Judy Woodruff has to say. I don't care what Wolf Dummy has to say. I don't care what Chris Matthews, though, you know, on a good day, sometimes he's kind of funny. But it's like, let me just watch the people that are trying to vie for the opportunity to run our country.
Yeah, it's not like a sports event where you can, like, watch it with the sound off. You kind of sort of, in order to hear Kerry, you actually have to listen to the sound. And, you know, maybe you can kind of turn the sound off when he's done. Or watch C-SPAN, where they really don't have anybody that kind of gets in the way. But you know what? This was a very difficult speech to get in the way of, okay? He spoke for 45 minutes. He did not even allow the Republicans any quarter whatsoever on defining family values. He hit every one of those notes that they have been trying to hit him with. He also spoke to criticism that he is a little bit obtuse in explaining his positions on the issues.
Now I know that there are those who criticize me for seeing complexities, and I do. Because some issues just aren't all that simple. Saying there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq doesn't make it so. Saying we can fight a war on the cheap doesn't make it so. And proclaiming mission accomplished certainly doesn't make it so. As president, I will ask the hard questions and demand hard evidence. I will immediately reform the intelligence system so policy is guided by facts and facts are never distorted by politics. And as president, I will bring back this nation's time-honored tradition. The United States of America never goes to war because we want to. We only go to war because we have to. That is the standard of our nation.
Yeah.
Can't put it any more down front than that now, can you?
Yeah, it was like, I like hearing the bites, because even like the bites, it's on radio in my head without watching it with, like, you know, stupid Wolf Blitzer in the way. Or, you know, having him sit there, you know, trying to figure out what to say while, you know, someone's not talking to his dumb head. Am I being mean?
No. You're being cruel but fair. There goes your shot at Crossfire, though. I just want you to know that now.
You know what? I don't even want to have nothing to do with that anymore. You know, it's like, I understand that politicians speak in a certain way. There is a craft and an art to the political speech. There is what they call rhetoric in the political conversation. But the truth of the matter is, the words and the dynamics of the person delivering the words is all we have to go on, you know, during this time. You know, we have Kerry's record in the Senate. It's a good record in the Senate. You know, flip-flopping is not what you call his senatorial record. You call it a career of debating and fighting for issues that he believes in, which is how the Senate works. The reason that Bush can say flip-flopper is because he's never had to be part of a legislative process. You know, he's never had to do anything but rely on other people to do his work for him and to oversee a temporary, you know, legislature in Texas. You know, I'm very moved by the whole process, and I was really mad at CNN. So you're going to talk about it, right?
Well, no. See, what I think folks ought to do and folks ought to think about here is to contrast what we've had over the last 3 years, particularly in foreign policy, with what John Kerry promised last night. He said that the United States would never hesitate to use force when it is required, meet any attack with a swift and certain response. Now, has the response to September 11th been swift and certain? Yes, they have gotten rid of the Taliban, but what else has the United States action done in terms of bringing to justice those people responsible for September 11th?
Not much.
The guy's still out there.
Is he still out there? And also, did they get rid of the Taliban? Did they?
It's an interesting question. And now, this may have been one of the more controversial things he said. Never give any nation or international institution a veto over our national security. Now, why do you think he put it there?
Will you explain that statement to me?
What
does he mean?
What he's speaking to is something that the Republicans were getting ready to hammer him on. It's something that Newt Gingrich mentioned yesterday. Most Americans, 80% of the American people, according to the latest poll that I saw on this, object to the idea of ceding American authority, whether it be troops, whether it be an election, whether it be whatever, to an international body. Read that, United Nations.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
So Americans don't want the UN looking over our shoulder when we conduct elections. Americans don't want American troops to have to answer to any UN authority in terms of any kind of a joint peacekeeping effort, that sort of thing. This has been true going back to Kosovo, going back to the Clinton administration. Americans want American troops to remain sovereign and to be commanded by U.S.
So they're saying that no matter what situation they're in, if they're in there on behalf of another country, they are not going to take orders from that country's military command.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're talking about. And what he's saying is don't give what Kerry did by saying this in his speech was to blunt what Dick Cheney and the people on the right wing were getting ready to hammer him with.
Right.
Which was that John Kerry would be more willing than George W. Bush to cede that kind of authority.
Right.
He said it unequivocally here. It's going to be a controversial statement. Make no mistake about that. There are a lot of people who don't think that that should be our priority. Remember, Corrine Brown, who we had on the air, the congresswoman from Ohio, said she was the one that wanted to see the United Nations oversee our elections.
In Florida, that has got to that point where there is a level of distrust about the election process in Florida that is comparable to third world countries where the elections aren't even secure is a statement in itself. And that she has some support in that idea is a great indication of how the Republicans are completely untrustworthy and dropped the ball.
Absolutely. There's more coming up on John Kerry's speech as well. As the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and terror watch, all here on Air America Radio.
Turn your car into a stealth fighter, invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry delivered a rousing speech as he accepted the party's nomination for the presidency. Kerry last night offered his vision for a new America and hit every major issue on the contest. In a 50-minute address, most political pundits agree it was a slam dunk for the Democrats. There was a huge anti-war protest outside the Fleet Convention Center in Boston. Several people were arrested after suffering a beatdown by local police. 400 protesters marched through the straits. Secretary of State Colin Powell is in Iraq in a surprise move. He's the highest-ranking American official to pay a visit to the war-torn country since the transition of power. Powell was updated on a variety of issues facing the country as he met with interim government leaders. And there's word that National Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge may be stepping down if President Bush should win a second term. He wants to re-enter the private sector to make more cash. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
I'll take the Mayhem in the AM breakfast special. What do I get with that? No. The Mayhem in the AM. The great morning show, it's... What the... No, the one with Steak Shapiro, Mike Bell, and Nick Cellini. No, it's guy talk. Morning sports with an edge. Oh, my God, come on.
Mayhem in the AM. Sports talk anyone can understand. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Chris wants to know if he should buy Google stock when it's offered. I'll tell him why not to after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Chris is thinking about buying Google stock at its initial offering. Past couple of days, I've been bombarded with information about the new Google IPO. What do you think about buying shares of Google? IPO, for those of you that don't know, is initial public offering. I would not put a dime in it. And that's not to say that Google isn't wonderful. However, there's an entire business landscape littered with dot-com going public failures and one or two successes. The point is, you're entering one of the most risky business landscapes that there has ever been known to man. And you're going to do that with a single stock investment, which adds even more risk. I can tell you that I own some aggressive growth stock mutual funds that invest in some dot-com stocks as a part of a whole portfolio strategy. And that lowers my risk way low. And if this Google IPO is awesome, they'll be buying into it. But I wouldn't buy it. I don't buy single stocks. You stand a better shot at the roulette wheel, dude. You really do.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Tax the rich. That's what I say. Tax the rich, and I can say that until I'm rich.
That's right.
Tax them.
That's right.
I want the roads to be better. I want my kids, when I have them, if I have them, to have opportunities.
Oh, you'll have them.
Yeah,
you think so? You'll have them.
So Ramon just got this to me. I guess they're on the plane. Here's the president's schedule. President's schedule for today, 6 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. No retreat, baby. No surrender. That damn Kerry. I can't get that song out of my head now. 7 a.m., Karl Rove, order more balloons for Republican convention. Must not have convention balloon gap. 8 a.m., call producers, have them insert footage from Top Gun into 10-minute convention film about my National Guard service. 9:05 a.m., speak at Southwestern Missouri State University, Springfield, Missouri. Blame John Kerry for cancellation of Hee-Haw. 3:25 p.m. Speak at Grand Rapids Community College, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Tell them I've been spending more time at college than I spent at college. 6:15 p.m. Speak to athletes at the International Children's Games, Cleveland, Ohio. Tell them John Kerry wants to overregulate hopscotch, dodgeball, and especially jacks. Then pass the hat for donations. 8:10 p.m. fundraising dinner, private residence, Kirtland, Ohio. Tell guests that depending on the size of the contributions, that Ohio is definitely in the running for best swing state in the upper Midwest. 10 p.m. bedtime in Cleveland. No retreat, baby. No surrender. Damn, must get that song out of my head. The itsy bitsy spider. Oh, that's better. There you go, man. There you go. John Kerry, as president, I will restore trust and credibility to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Just riffing off of Bush's lie who said, I'm going to restore honor and dignity to the White House by exploiting the fear and ignorance of the populace. And in essence, the honor and dignity he was talking about was a sexual transgression by the past occupier of the White House. But what George Bush has done the last 4 years has brought more disgrace and dishonor to that place than Clinton ever could have by being a lying, secretive, incapable, you know, cloistered, paranoid freak and a religious fanatic. Anyways, what were you going to say, Mark?
Well, let's talk a little inside.
I'm full of the beans today.
Whoops. You got bean oil?
No, not those beans.
Yeah. Let's talk a little inside politics for a minute.
Okay.
Okay, not to use
the name
of an existing program or anything.
Yeah.
The Republicans, before the start of the convention, at the end of last week, did a very interesting thing. They tried to set the parameters of the bounce coming out of this convention,
saying
in essence that if John Kerry didn't get a 15-point bounce out of this convention, the convention and therefore his speech and his candidacy were a failure. It's a very slick thing to do.
Yeah.
See, the Democrats may have their estimates about how high the bounce will be or whatever. We saw in 1988 in particular a humongous bounce from Michael Dukakis coming out of the Democratic National Convention, which vanished into thin air.
Yeah.
In the months that followed.
Mm-hmm.
So that George W. Bush won that election, George H.W. Bush, won that election going away.
Mm-hmm.
So the bounce is significant for people with the television ratings down overall for the convention itself. The question then becomes, how much bounce does John Kerry get? I think his bounce will be substantial. I think the Republicans, by establishing this whole 15% thing, really kind of set the bar higher than they would have for their own guy. George W. Bush isn't getting 15%. But what they did was set an artificially high barrier for John Kerry, put it out there so that if he gets 12 or 13, they're going to say, well, look, he didn't get the bounce he was supposed to get. It's a very slick political way of doing things. But John Kerry is the equal of the Republicans when it comes to dealing with politics. He has taken, during the course of his 45 minutes last night, he took each and every Republican criticism of his record, of what he would be about as president, and stood it on its head. He talked, for example, about returning to fiscal responsibility and...
Let me tell you what we won't do. We won't raise taxes on the middle class. You've heard a lot of false charges about this in recent months, so let me say straight out what I will do as president. I will cut middle-class taxes, I will reduce the tax burden on small business, and I will roll back the tax cuts for the wealthiest individuals who make over $200,000 a year so we can invest in health care, education, and job creation. Education plan for a stronger America sets high standards, and it demands accountability from parents, teachers, and schools. It provides for smaller class sizes, and it treats teachers like the professionals that they are. And it gives a tax credit to families for each and every year of college. When I was a prosecutor, I met young kids who were in trouble, abandoned, all of them, by adults. And as president, I am determined that we stop being a nation content to spend $50,000 a year to send a young person to prison for the rest of their life when we could invest $10,000 a year in Head Start, Early Start, Smart Start, a real start for the lives of our children.
Beautiful. You know what that means to me? That a tax cut for the middle class? Lunch is on me, fellas.
All right.
We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
The Wall Street Journal describes him as the biggest star in the music world. The San Francisco Chronicle considers him to be the most compelling music icon of his generation. And Sirius Satellite Radio says, well, Sirius says, we got
Eminem. Multi-platinum recording artist Eminem, along with Shady and Interscope Records, are coming to Sirius.
Catch one of the most controversial rappers of our time as he brings the streets to satellite.
Uncensored.
Coming this fall.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Train, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period. And now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
All it takes is one spark. One careless act to start a wildfire. So next time you build a campfire, find an open site, clear from dry brush and overhanging branches. Be sure to keep the fire small. And when you're done, properly drown the fire. Stir it with a shovel, then drown it again. Because only you can prevent wildfires. Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Soon, all over-the-counter medicines will have one thing in common. Simplicity. That's because all over-the-counter medicines will feature new, easier-to-read labels that clearly show their ingredients, uses, warnings, and directions. Because if there's one symptom we all want to relieve, it's confusion. For more information, call the Food and Drug Administration at 1-888-INFO-FDA. That's 1-888-INFO-FDA. The new label. It's clearly better.
Trust and credibility. John Kerry said he will restore trust and credibility back to the White House. Bush once said that he would restore honor and dignity back to the White House, which he did neither of. He's a very dishonorable man. He's a very secretive man. He's surrounded by thieves and global pillagers. He's you know, cloistered himself at his ranch in Texas. He's completely detached from reality. There's no pride in that White House, and there shouldn't be. I see no way that this administration, that this president, when he comes here to our town, to the site of his biggest mistake, and I see no way that he's going to be able to condescend to what went on in Boston. I don't see any way he's going to be able to smirk or shrug or, you know, or look, get his little glazed, stupid face and, you know, and actually
glazed,
look. You know where his eyes just sort of focus in and smirks like Mussolini? You know, I just don't see how it's going to work because they got nothing. They got nothing but fear and slander to drive them.
Their best shot is that people will have forgotten what happened at the Democratic convention by the time the Republican convention starts. I'm being serious now.
Not gonna let that
people
happen.
Are going to think, well, that was a month ago. Maybe people weren't paying attention. Everybody was trying to get out of town. Everybody says, you know, it's the middle of the summer. So, and that, by the way, is why they pushed the original start date of the convention back in the first place. This convention wasn't supposed to start when it is starting.
Well, we're going to save all our sound bites. And during, when they're here in our town, which is not their town, we're going to have to, you know, make sure we have all these sound bites intact and in touch. And I'm sure CNN will be doing some great, you know, flashback coverage of the balloon crisis. You know, and some of the more important things that they had chose to cover during this convention. These, you know, negative, self-indulgent, narcissistic media, the CNN.
You mean the interviews with fundamentalists?
Oh, man, Ralph Reed after Edwards and then Gillespie after Kerry. I mean, God, what did it? Did something happen last week? Was CNN, you know, bought by the Bush administration? What happened?
They're trying to match Fox News Channel. That's what I'm convinced is happening.
Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to lower the bar that low for money? I know what you're saying.
It's money and ratings.
You know what? And I don't believe the numbers anymore. You know what? To hell with the numbers. To hell with the numbers. I believe that after this convention that, you know, people are going to activate, that the polls don't necessarily mean anything. There are so many people that haven't voted and that aren't registered to vote. They have to get out there, register to vote, you know, do everything you can to get yourself to take that half hour of work. Prepare now. Go register this week.
You know what's going on, too, and it's going on behind the scenes. It's going on very quietly. People like Sean Combs, P. Diddy, people like Russell Simmons, they're going out among young black people who traditionally do not vote, who have no interest up until now in voting. And they're going out to these people, registering them, schooling them on the issues, doing rallies, doing the kinds of things that will bring them to the polls. See, in the past, that whole hip-hop generation vote effort has always been focused on registering people. Now they're focusing on turnout. Now they're focusing on vote pulling. That's the real power in politics. I don't care whether you're an alderman or the President of the United States, your power is in your ability to get people who you know are going to vote for you to the polls.
Yeah, and mobilize your friends. Don't listen to Tucker Carlson, the dummy. The bow tie doesn't mean that he's intelligent. He may aspire to be Buckley, but he'll never be Buckley because he's got no chops. He's got no intelligence. He'll lie. He'll say things that aren't true. Like one of our bloggers hit me to this the other day in relation to P. Diddy and in relation to getting young people out to vote no matter what. Carlson said, you know what? You shouldn't vote if you don't know what you're voting for. You don't know what the issues are. You know what? Go ahead and vote, even if you don't know what you're voting for. Follow your gut. And if your gut says Bush, that means you got to question yourself and where you're coming from, because it's probably from a place of fear and narrow-mindedness. If your gut says Democrat, then that's what you ought to vote, because that's the right way to go.
And if your gut says I'm hungry, you know what to do.
Have something to eat. There's ice cream available, because in America, it's all you can eat all the time.
John Kerry was very, very smart last night, Mark, in blunting, and we talked about this before, blunting some of the Republican criticism. In particular, questioning Kerry's patriotism, questioning Kerry's knowledge of national security issues. Last night, John Kerry talked tough about his willingness to fight if need be.
Let there be no mistake. I will never hesitate to use force when it is required. Any attack will be met with a swift and a certain response. I will never give any nation or any institution a veto over our national security, and I will build a stronger military. We will add 40,000 active duty troops, not in Iraq, but to strengthen American forces that are now overstretched, overextended, and under pressure. We will double our special forces to conduct terrorist operations, anti-terrorist operations, and we will provide our troops with the newest weapons and technology to save their lives and win the battle. And we will end the backdoor draft of the National Guard and reservists. To all who serve in our armed forces today, I say help is on the way.
Yeah, see, that's good. Yeah, there's part of that, you know, the backdoor reservist, the backdoor draft. I think that there was some fear on Kerry's behalf that he might be asked to go back in. And, you know, I understand he's getting older, and, you know, at his age, he's got important things to do, like be president, you know, and he's got to be able to guide the military. I think that, you know, in terms of the past presidents, I can't remember a president in my life or that, you know, in the time of my life when I was conscious and gave a crap. Was that, you know, this guy's a guy that's got solid hands-on military experience in a very sort of, you know, real way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fairness, now, George H.W. Bush was a fighter pilot.
Paratrooper, that's right.
So you give him credit. John Kennedy, who came up, you were just a blink.
Yeah,
I was a kid.
Yeah.
And John Kennedy, the whole PT-109 saga.
But you got to assume that the military, you know, would rather have a commander-in-chief that's going to look out for them from the point of view of somebody who was in the military, you know, than some guy who, you know, just was the son of a guy who was in the military, didn't do nothing.
Well, yeah, and you know, military people, I think, appreciate the idea that their families at home can, yeah, you know, pay their mortgages, get their kids educated, put food on the table while they're off serving in Iraq, and in many instances not making enough money to make ends meet.
Yeah, and speaking of troops, did you know we got more cops in New York than we have troops in Afghanistan, where it's starting to blow up right now? We'll talk more about that on Terror Watch when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Institute talks meltdown.
In the Antarctic, we're seeing warming causing ice shelves that have been standing for thousands of years to crumble into the sea.
Because of temperature rising, ice is melting faster in all parts of the world.
When glaciers on land melt, they flow into rivers. Rivers flow into sea. So the more glacier melting you have, sea levels will rise worldwide.
That means big trouble for the world's coastal cities and small islands.
Some islands are only several feet high at their highest point, and a rise in sea level could completely inundate them.
Scientists say humans do have control over climate change.
If we move quickly to cut carbon emissions, the temperature will rise to a smaller degree, and the melting could be minimized.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
The Wall Street Journal describes him as the biggest star in the music world.
The San Francisco Chronicle considers him to be the most compelling music icon of his generation.
And Sirius Satellite Radio says,
well, Sirius says, we got
Eminem. Multi-platinum recording artist Eminem, along with Shady and Interscope Records, are coming to Sirius. Catch one of the most controversial rappers of our time as he brings the streets to satellite.
Uncensored.
Coming this fall.
Today, one out of 13 children suffers from asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all pediatric emergency room visits. But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Here's an important food safety rule to keep in mind. It takes thorough cooking to kill harmful bacteria. Check your food for doneness, especially meat and poultry, with a food thermometer. Because food safety is important. Don't take chances. Cooking food thoroughly is a simple way to keep you and your family healthy. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Hey, kid. Are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, they never asked. They'll never know the E is used by good kids, just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins, or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah, you sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Yep. Kerry did a good job, man. Rose to the occasion, focused, had some clarity, worked up a little bit of a sweat even.
Yeah. You saw that, huh?
It's funny, like, as a guy who's done some show business in my life, my first response was like, powder, powder! And then my second response was like, hey, man, he's into it. He's working up a sweat.
Yep.
People are excited. People are crying a little bit. Like I said, my first reaction when I first turned it on at 2:30 in the morning on my TiVo was, you know, I came to it with such high expectations, and they were too high in the sense that, like, there was, you know, I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting to be transported to another land where everything was okay. And then, like, after the second viewing, I was like, well, okay, it seems to me that there's hope of getting to that land.
Well, you know what I mean? It was a really solid performance that hit the areas I believe his people felt. And see, what I found interesting is that this entire convention has been very, very well staged, very well put together, despite the fact that John Kerry, by last count I saw, has at least seven different spheres of influence all vying for his attention at the same time.
Yes, yes.
The ex-Clintonites, the Kennedy people, his people from Massachusetts, his people from D.C. You have all these different sometimes competing groups of folks. And with all of that competition, with all of those minds trying to focus on one thing, they managed to do it pretty well.
I think so. And we're going to be talking about it all day. But right now, time for Terror Watch as I trivialize one of the biggest threats the world has ever known with silly music.
Dateline, Afghanistan.
Yeah.
There's a parliamentary committee, which most of us wouldn't know about under normal circumstances, called the Foreign Affairs Select Committee. They have warned that Afghanistan is likely to implode.
Oh, really? I thought that we got everything taken care of there.
No, unless there are more troops, more resources committed to the country. And by the way, there are now about 20,000 U.S.-led troops, 6,500 NATO-led peacekeepers in Afghanistan. And as you very correctly pointed out, that's fewer people than patrol the streets of our great city here in New York.
They can't run an election. The elections are being terrorized by warlords. The Taliban's bouncing back a little bit. Al-Qaeda is back. The opium trade is out of control. Osama bin Laden's still on the loose. Where's that opium money going that they can't get a handle on? To terrorism? To kickbacks? Where's it going?
Well,
I don't know.
This committee, which was chaired by a member of parliament named Donald Anderson, from the Labor Party, said, and I'm quoting here, about the drugs thing, and this is very important, we conclude that there is little, if any, sign of the war on drugs being won, and every indication that the situation is likely to deteriorate, at least in the short term. That means, if it's entirely possible, there will be more poppy derivative on the streets of our cities as a result of what's going on in Afghanistan.
Follow that money. You know what I mean? Follow that money. I mean, what is it? All right. Well, Liberal agenda time from the Streisand compound. Here we go. Here are your marching orders for today. Write them down. One, recycle convention balloons into scented peace condoms. Two, rent phone booth for Green Party convention.
Ooh.
That's going to get some email. Three, criticize Kerry's speech for not once mentioning our cross-dressing troops. Four, attend poetry slam. 2 hours of free verse about the Sudanese refugees should kill any post-convention optimism. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Sure, Kerry goes on and on, but his precious hamster... Kerry goes on and on about his precious hamsters. So I guess the prairie dogs can just go screw themselves, huh? Well, that's typical. We'll see you over the next hour.
Yeah. And by the way, as far as late news is concerned, there are three U.S., two Afghan soldiers wounded on Thursday. We're talking about the terror watch. Yeah, so, you know, there are more casualties going on there as well. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, more on the Democratic National Convention and a look ahead at the Kerry campaign. We talk to former Kerry speechwriter Andre Cherney. Listen to Mark Maron's Dream Diary and more here on Air America Radio.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the air. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Hi, I'm Meg Ryan for Doctors Without Borders. Did you know that more than 14 million people die each year from infectious diseases such as tuberculosis, sleeping sickness, and malaria? Doctors Without Borders, which works in more than 85 countries around the world, is tired of sending their patients home because the treatment is too old, too expensive, or not available. Get informed and get involved by visiting Doctors Without Borders' traveling exhibit called the Access Expo. It's coming to your city this year. For more information, go to their website, doctorswithoutborders.org.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry entered the party's national convention last night with a rousing speech. Some say it was his best speech ever given. He captivated the supportive audience in a 50-minute address hitting on every major issue he's faced from his Republican critics. Kerry also took time to dissect what some have long said are the frailties of the Bush administration, from the vice president to the head of the U.S. Justice Department.
I will be a commander in chief who will never mislead us into war. I will have a vice president who will not conduct secret meetings with polluters to rewrite our environmental laws. I will have a secretary of defense who will listen to the advice of the military leaders, and I will appoint an attorney general who will uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry, as he gave his acceptance speech last night at the Fleet Convention Center in Boston. Well-organized Democratic convention this week did suffer some final-day chaos as 400-strong anti-war protesters took to the streets of Boston and clashed with local police. They burned a two-faced effigy of President Bush and Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. Several of the protesters suffered a beatdown by Boston police before being carried away to face charges. Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani yesterday served as the Republican Party's pit bull by blasting the Democrats at the local Boston hotel with other Republicans in tow, charging the Democrats with failing to discuss John Kerry's record. Giuliani, now considered America's mayor for doing his job during the September 11th attacks on New York, failed to elaborate on what he meant other than labeling Kerry and his running mate John Edwards as liberals. Giuliani said the Republicans will clearly run on President Bush's record the last 4 years when they come to New York for their convention. There's a report this week, and actually this morning, I should say, that one of the guest speakers at the Democratic National Convention this week has written a scathing critique on President Bush that is expected to appear in next month's Esquire magazine. Ron Reagan, the son of the former Republican president, Ronald Reagan, is the author of a 4,100-word article. Unlike his convention address on stem cell research, Reagan lets loose with a series of criticism, charging Bush and his administration with trafficking in big lies, indulging in any number of symptomatic small lies, and ultimately have become the embodied dishonesty itself. Reagan says the administration is a lie and that the American people are finally catching on. As for Bush Jr., Reagan says he is an ineloquent, not because he cannot speak, but because he does not bother to think, as part of Ron Reagan's essay on George W. Bush next month in Esquire magazine. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Okay.
And
I'm Tony Hawk. And I've got a new show called Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio. Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can hear it.
It's going to be on action.
It's skateboarding, it's music, it's action, it's funny, it's not boring.
Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on Sirius Faction 28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Anna and her husband want to know how to get a home loan with no credit. I'll tell them after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Can you get a home with no credit?
Me and my fiancé are looking to purchase a home, but we're both beginners and neither of us have any credit established.
Well, you can do that if you've paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years and can prove it. And if you paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years, you're steady on your job for 2 years, you have a good down payment, and you're not trying to buy too much house as a percentage of your income, then you qualify for a mortgage. You will need to find a mortgage broker that does what's called manual underwriting, because if they don't, they pull what's called a Beacon score. And you won't have a Beacon score because your credit bureau is blank. And I don't want you to go out and get a bunch of credit just to get a house. That's not necessary. That's a big lie that runs around our culture. You know, collect those things I just talked about, those four things, which is down payment, the payment as a percentage of your income can't be too much, 2 years of job record, and 2 years of landlord record, and then your bank.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're five. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty. That flag doesn't belong to any president. It doesn't belong to any ideology. It doesn't belong to any party. It belongs to all the American people.
There is not a black America and a white America. There's the United States of America.
The future doesn't belong to fear. It belongs to freedom. Son or daughter who's serving this country heroically in Iraq calls, you tell them hope is on the way.
In all due respect, Mr. President, read my lips. Our vote is not for sale.
For the brave men and women in uniform who risk their lives, and for their families who pray for their return. For all those who believe that our best days are ahead of us, with great faith in the American people, I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
Good morning, America. Post John Kerry's acceptance of the nomination for the president's speech, America. Very moving. And that, I love that song. I love the highlights. That montage brought to you by Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey.
New Jersey.
And
Bruce Springsteen also. You know, I used to think Springsteen was overrated, but in that context, in the context of listening to John Kerry, listening to Al Sharpton, listening to Barack Obama, listening to John Edwards, It makes a little more sense.
You know, there's an analogy to be drawn, actually, there, Mark Riley, between Bruce Springsteen and somebody like a John Kerry. Because Bruce Springsteen is not only an acquired taste, but you got to go a little deeper to lock into the Springsteen thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not pop for pop's sake. It's not candy for your brain. It's Bruce Springsteen. It's an idea. It's the man. It's the poetry. A lot of people don't just come to the Springsteen trough and drink. They don't know how to handle it. There's too much there. It's the same thing with John Kerry, man. Like, even me, I'm a guy, I'm a sucker for a little pop. I like a little candy in my head, you know what I mean? I like something, throw something in my head, let it dance around a little bit and make my nipples hard. You know, I like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like John Kerry, I gotta sit down, I'm like, alright, come on, give it to me. You know, make me feel big and strong and like I belong in the world. And like, I was like, uh-oh. And then like, I had to watch it again, I'm like, wait a minute, think about the first time you listened to Springsteen. The first time I listened to Springsteen, because I didn't know anything other than Born to Run, other than, you know, whatever was on the radio, and it didn't quite lock into me. You know, I mean, I liked Born to Run, but then all of a sudden I got to deal with a guy that's got like a million records out. Who is this Bruce Springsteen guy? You got to sit down and you got to reckon with Bruce Springsteen, because he stands on his own. Just like last night, I had to sit down and I got to reckon with John Kerry. And believe me, if you don't quite get, if they say that we still don't know who he is, then you're clearly stupid. The thing is that you know who he is. He's an authentic guy. He's got vision. He's got wisdom. He's got guts. He's got a message, you know, and George Bush, what has he got? The reason people think they know George Bush is because they do. He's simple, he's shallow, he speaks in sound bites, he's an ambitious, you know, politician that will stop at nothing to get what he wants. He's a spoiled child surrounded by evil bastards.
You know what's interesting about this entire convention, Mark, is if you go back 2-3 months, and there were people, some of whom really wanted badly to support John Kerry, but what were they saying? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure about his message. He's a little vague on this. He's a little wishy-washy on
that. Not anymore.
He, I believe, has a grand strategy here, just like he had a grand strategy that eventually won him the nomination.
Yeah.
Remember that back in January of this year, nobody thought John Kerry had a snowball's chance in hell.
Yeah.
But yet, he managed by March to convince the American people that he was the man. And yeah, there were questions about his strategy, questions about what he's doing, but I think that this convention has gone a long way, never mind the policy positions and those sorts of things. I think it has gone a long way to convincing those hard-boiled, grizzled political people that this guy has a political plan to win the presidency, and we're starting to see it unfold. We saw it unfold last night when John Kerry got before the delegates at the Democratic National Convention up in Boston and promised not to mislead the American people.
As president, that is my first pledge to you tonight. As president, I will restore trust and credibility to the White House. I ask you to judge me by my record. As a young prosecutor, I fought for victims' rights and made prosecuting violence against women a priority. When I came to the Senate, I broke with many in my own party to vote for a balanced budget because I thought it was the right thing to do. I fought to put 100,000 police officers on the streets of America. And then I reached out across the aisle with John McCain to work to find the truth about our POWs and missing in action, and to finally make peace in Vietnam. I will be a commander-in-chief who will never mislead us into war. I will have a vice president who will not conduct secret meetings with polluters to rewrite our environmental laws. I will have a secretary of defense who will listen to the advice of the military leaders, and I will appoint an attorney general who will uphold the Constitution of the United States.
We're going to be playing this stuff all morning so you guys can, you know, mentally masticate it, take it in, let it move you in the way it's supposed to move you without being, you know, interrupted by Wolf Buzzkill Blitzer or Judy Doofus Woodruff or Dan, I'm Smarter Than You Greenfield. Is that his name?
Jeff
Smarty Pants Greenfield, Mr. Contrarian. It's like, you know what? We don't care about you guys.
You mean he's
what
not smarter than us?
He is, but who cares? The truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. Get out of the way, CNN. You know, and you know what sucks about CNN? And I'll say this right now, and you can mark my words on it. They're going to take all the criticism here that we initiated yesterday. Yesterday we started talking about this. Yesterday morning, right after they insulted Al Sharpton and tried to erase him, you know, they're going to take all this and they're going to put all of our advice, you know, all the stuff that we're asking them to do, they're going to put into action at the Republican National Convention, and they're not going to have any commentary whatsoever. You know what I mean? That you can't do. What you've got to do is have every liberal commentator available, or the three that you use, all right? And have every Democratic commentator available that's got any edge to him, and you stick him right there. You put them right on the floor of that convention.
And ladies and gentlemen, Marc Maron is available.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to go. But I'll be nervous because, you know, they're all creepy people. And I'm already nervous. My phone went out yesterday, and I'm like, Verizon, are they behind this? Or is there some sort of small attack plan on the Marc Maron household? We'll be back after this on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out.
I just thought the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Don't be afraid out there. Don't be afraid. Remember, President Bush is the terrorist's president. Osama bin Laden is campaigning for Bush in northern Pakistan. They want him. He's running the Bush-Cheney campaign among terrorists. The terrorists want George Bush. Nothing has united them, brought focus to their cause, given them an enemy that they can all agree on. The only minorities that's going to vote for Bush in numbers, I think, are Muslim extremists.
I think Kerry may have made a lot of those extremists a little nervous.
Right now I'm going to do my dream diary. I did go to therapy yesterday, so now we're starting anew. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I'm walking around the floor of the Fleet Center with my dead cat, Butch. It's after the convention. Everyone's gone. They let me go after everything was over. Typical.
Yeah.
Butch and I are knee-deep in balloons and confetti and other red, white, and blue crap that doesn't have anything to do with anything. I say, what does it matter, Butch? The country is so divided. We can make speeches and wave signs and congratulate ourselves, but still 50% of America isn't going to buy any of this. And what if Kerry does win? God, he's going to have a tough time. And what if he doesn't? I can hardly think about it. It's all an empty spectacle. Do we really think balloons will solve our problems? Butch is licking some dried vodka off a button that says the real deal. She turns to me and says, you're right, Mark, but I'm reminded of Bertrand Russell, who said, extreme hopes are born of extreme misery. This would have been more impressive if Butch hadn't just clawed a balloon and sucked all the helium out of it before she said it. Just then I look up and there's Truman and FDR and John Kennedy. All three are wearing green jumpsuits that say Fleet Center Maintenance. They're pushing brooms trying to make a dent in this mountain of crap. Truman says, what's the matter, Mark? Politics got you down? The Republicans hated me too. Way worse than Kerry. FDR says, I had polio, for God's sake, and a little thing called World War II to deal with. And who are you afraid of? Ann Coulter? Kennedy says, I my watch. The Russians tried to install missiles 90 miles from U.S. soil. Of course, that wasn't nothing compared to facing Sean Hannity. Dad Kennedy, sorry. I get pissed. Come on, you guys. We're in some serious here. What about terrorism and the economy and the environment? Truman says, gee, I don't know, tough guy. What about him? FDR says, we got through it. You'll get through it. I say, how do I know that? Kennedy says, you don't. But what are you going to do? Quit? I say, but who's going to clean up all these stupid balloons? FDR hands me a broom. Get to work, sourpuss. Cleanup's not so bad. Jack was about to tell us about Marilyn Monroe's underwear. So we spent a couple of hours cleaning up balloons. When the floor was almost clean again, Truman, FDR, Kennedy took a break and started sucking in helium and talking like Donald Duck and laughing and smacking each other on the ass with their broomsticks and throwing wads of confetti in the air. Truman says, come on, Marin, take that stick out of your ass. So I pick up red balloons, I suck all the helium, and I said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Feeling much better, Butch and I put on our green jumpsuits and went off to clean the bathrooms, which I have to say were 10 times more disgusting than the balloons. I woke up and my bed was filled with the New Deal. Ooh. That might be the longest dream diary ever. But very ornate and elaborate. I had a good time there. Did my mic just go out for a minute? That was wild.
Ooh.
So right now, we have a former director of speech writing, special advisor on policy for John Kerry, a senior speech writer for also for Vice President Al Gore. Andre Cherney is with us. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm pretty
How
good.
You doing?
Pretty good. How did he do last night? I felt like he did pretty good.
I thought he did great.
Yeah.
I thought he really gave the performance of his lifetime. He did what he had to do. He showed up. He showed you that he was in charge. He showed he was in command. He showed he's a real person.
I think so.
I think it was great.
And do you think that what were some of the like? You didn't have any. Did you have anything to do with writing this speech, Mel?
You know, a lot of us contributed lines, but really the speech was 85-90% John Kerry. I mean, this was really John Kerry unplugged, and it was great.
What were some of the highlights for you? I mean, what were some of the great moments?
I mean, I think when he talked, towards the end about we're not saying we're on God's side, but quoting Lincoln saying that we want to be on God's side.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I mean, people loved that, and I thought that was exactly the right tone to hit.
Trust and credibility was good, too.
And restoring trust and credibility. I mean, that sends
nice.
A message directly back at George Bush and says, this is what we're going to make that election about.
Yeah.
And people are looking for that.
Andre Cherney, it seemed as though quite a bit of what John Kerry had to say last night was aimed at those undecided swing voters or voters in swing states. Do you think he reached them?
Well, I think time will tell, and we'll see what the polls show in the next few days. My guess is that he really did. My guess is that they were looking for somebody who's ready to be commander-in-chief, somebody who shares their values, somebody who understands where they're coming from, somebody who understands what their concerns are on a daily basis, who knows the lives they live, and I think John Kerry showed that he was more than ready to do all those things.
Did you see that one of the criticisms of John Kerry was that his political strategy was vague because he had so many different people trying to influence where he was going on policy issues. It seemed he might have silenced those critics or at least calmed those doubts last night. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there were doubts there to begin with, but I think anybody who saw that speech last night saw John Kerry lay out very clearly what he was going to do. Very clear agenda on the war on terror, a very clear agenda on Iraq, very clear agenda on energy independence and health care and the economy. This is not a guy who's being fuzzy about things. This is a guy who's saying very directly to the American people, here's what I'm going to do as president. Here's what you're getting if you vote for me.
Yeah, there's no question now about what he stands for, that's for sure.
I mean, anybody who says that now is basically just reading off Republican talking points and not looking at what's the reality out there.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Did he say anything that made you go, whoa, I didn't see that coming?
Well, I think, there was a few times. I mean, you know, I worked for him for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, you know, some stories there about his own upbringing and his own childhood even were news to me. And so I think that was really powerful. And, you know, I think also if you look at a whole night, you look at his daughter's speeches, which are so effective. You look at the amazing introduction by Max Cleland,
mm-hmm.
which everybody's talking about is really the high point of all the speeches, you know, other than John Kerry's. I think it really paints a picture of who John Kerry is.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Andre Cherney, the former director of speech writing and special advisor on policy for John Kerry. I thought that that his speech really captured everything that that he stands for. And I also, now in working with him, I mean, obviously you guys, how do you go about writing a speech like that? You sit there with John Kerry and you talk over what he wants to say. How does that work?
Oh, well, you know, a big speech like this starts and ends with John Kerry.
Right.
I mean, this is a speech that he speechwriters were there for this one basically.
Punch up just to punch it up.
Even maybe less than that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
basically to sort of run the process. But this was something that he sat down with. He loves writing things out by longhand, and he took out some notebooks and started writing this and has been working on it for more than a month.
Mm-hmm.
So these were his words. These were his thoughts. And, basically there's other people around to help him organize it, to provide advice. But you could see how comfortable he was when he walked up there. You could see that this was not something that he got from anywhere other than his own heart and his own soul.
Sure.
Andre Cherney, by Monday, there are going to be polls out, I'm almost certain, that will talk about what bounce, if any, John Kerry got from this convention. The Republicans, prior to the DNC, put out a talking point thing about having a 15% threshold, that John Kerry needs a 15% bounce in order to be seen as effective during the course of this convention. What do you think about that? Will he get a bounce? Will it get that high?
I think he'll probably get some bounce. I think he, certainly will, be a standing approved in the polls over the next few days. It's not going to be anywhere near 15 points, and they know that. But that would be a huge bounce coming out of the convention, totally out of character with the kind of election we have. When you have those kinds of big balances, it's because you have a Democratic Party that's not united and that it takes the convention to bring the party together. This has been a party that's been united from day one once the nomination was over. All of the Democrats, everybody who believes that we can do better than George Bush are on board with John Kerry already now. And so we're really fighting over a very narrow sliver of voters who still have to make up their minds. And many others who are looking to see what the alternatives are. And I think you're going to see some bounce there. But the second thing is this is also a time of war. And like elections like 1980, we're not going to see people make up their minds in a real fashion for a lot of the swing voters until after the debate, until as the election draws near. They're going to hang out and see what's going on. And so I think you'll get some bounce. I think you'll see the lead shift back and forth until we get into October.
Let me ask you a question, Andre Cherney. You wrote speeches for John Kerry, and I was very impressed with the intelligence of almost all the speeches. Okay, the Democratic convention. Now, quickly, is it when someone like Bush writes these sound bites? Is it because he's pretty incapable of talking about policy in any way, isn't he?
I think clearly George Bush hopefully is incapable of talking about policy, or either that, or he just is committed to doing whatever he can for the far right wing and
right.
to doing whatever he can for
we
the corporation.
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, I got to go. I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off, but I jumped. Yeah, I gave it too much information there as far as the question goes. But thanks for joining us, Andre. I couldn't finish it. What do you got there, Mark?
No, we appreciate it, Andre Turney. Coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, the Dog of the Week. Plus, Kerry, press A, Jim Loftus, and you on the phones at 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm proud that over 1 million of my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are used around the world. What makes me really proud is that the Orrick XL upright is built in the good old USA. I'm proud of my American workers and my built-to-last American quality. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. If someone tries to tell you that American products are second best, they obviously haven't tried my Orrick XL.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry delivers a slam dunk for the party as he enters the final phase of the campaign to win the White House. Kerry gave a 50-minute address last night, hitting on every major issue he's faced from Republican critics. Ron Reagan, the son of the late Republican President Ronald Reagan, has written a scathing article about President George W. Bush and members of his administration, calling them liars and saying the president is ineloquent, not because he cannot speak, but because he does not bother to think. U.S. Senate Government Affairs Committee is getting the ball rolling by holding hearings on the 9/11 Commission's recommendations. The panel's chair wants to focus on two of the report's most touchy proposals. And a former coalition provisional authority in Iraq under the control of U.S. civilian officials failed to keep a good track of nearly $1 billion in Iraqi money spent on reconstruction projects. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
I'll take the Mayhem in the AM breakfast special. What do I get with that? No. The Mayhem in the AM. The great morning show, it's... What the... No, the one with Steak Shapiro, Mike Bell, and Nick Cellini. No, it's guy talk. Morning sports with an edge. Oh, my God, come on!
Mayhem in the AM. Sports talk anyone can understand. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Rhonda inherited cemetery plots. Now she wants to sell them. I'll help her not get stiff after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Rhonda needs to sell a cemetery plot.
What I'd like to know is how could one go about selling cemetery lots 1,500 miles away?
Whoa.
If you've inherited them, you have no need or no desire to use them, and these were purchased a long time ago.
I would contact 4 or 5 churches that are within a 5 or 10 mile radius, see if they have any kind of little newspaper that you could buy an ad in, and then I would also look at just traditional classified ads in the newspaper. People sell them that way. I've seen them for sale. Okay. Let's call funeral homes in the area. I'm trying to think who the customers are, but
yeah,
you know,
that's
that's not funny.
we
got to find somebody that has the need here. You know, you might try to establish the market value, and if you discounted them, somebody at a local funeral home might buy them from you, knowing they can...
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
That was my bad on cutting off Andre Cherney. I apologize to the listeners and to him. We didn't have enough time to answer. We had a hard out and he had to go. So
So that's that. It happens in radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
It happens in radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America. I would like to say that the Believe in America bus tour is starting out from Boston. They're going to hit the road. Carrie and Edwards are going to Pennsylvania. They're going to Ohio. I'm not sure where else they're going, but we're going to get to talk to my old buddy Jim Loftus, one of my oldest friends in the world, is on the bus, and he's with the press division for the Carrie campaign. Right now we're taking it to the phones. Tess and Yonkers, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hey.
Thank you so much for what you do, and, you know, it's wonderful that you're on the air this week.
Thank you. It's
been horrible what this media has been doing.
Yeah.
And, Mark, I want to give a special shout-out to you for sticking it to those idiots on CNN.
Thank you so much.
They are horrible. I think that we need to complain about the coverage that they gave this week.
Yeah.
I mean, when they say that they are the most trusted name in news, okay, between Fox, MSNBC, yes, but no.
Yeah.
America Radio is the most trusted name in news.
Oh, thank you. Their integrity
went to the gutter this week.
You're absolutely right. Thanks for your call, Tess.
Thanks, I really
appreciate it. We should use that as a promo.
Yeah, right.
That was great. Mitch in Miami, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, man, I am high from last night.
Yeah.
He exceeded expectations, hit a home run out of the ballpark. I am getting ready. Precinct captain.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We talked to you yesterday.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
good. We need you to be energized.
We're hyped up. What they want us to do is knock on all existing Democratic Party doors and make sure we get 100% of the vote out.
Yeah.
That's the strategy.
So you're starting now? You're starting today?
Absolutely. Getting on it right away.
Oh, good.
And I've got a couple of beefs. Well, please don't cut me off.
Okay.
I got to say the media, I always thought CNN was a little bit to the middle or to the left, and I found out that they're not. They're corporately owned, conservative news media.
Yeah, we've been talking about that all day. Absolutely.
In every single section, NBC.
Absolutely, absolutely.
By General Electric.
Yep. We've been talking about that all morning.
What is it, CBS and ABC's owned by Disney?
Yeah, all of them.
Owned by, what, Cap City still?
Okay. CBS is Viacom.
Okay, CBS is Viacom. Either way, it's corporately controlled.
Yes.
And I cannot trust any mainstream media.
The only
media I trust is Air America.
Okay, another promo. Perfect.
Another promo.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it. No, that's great. No, I mean, they're right. And, you know, we called this stuff yesterday, and it was abysmal. It was a media sin what CNN did, and I don't trust any of them anymore. Dale, how are you, Dale in Manhattan?
What's up, Dale?
Hi.
Hey.
Okay. Mark Maron, you're a genius. You ran right by a point this morning, and we have to go back to it.
Okay.
Ready?
Am I a genius for running by the point? Are you just saying I'm a genius because you're about to say I was wrong about something?
No.
Okay. Let's go back. I'm sorry, Dan.
It's all that negativity.
Okay, let's go back. What do you want to talk about?
You went by this point where you said that they can call Perry a flip-flopper because Bush never had to deal with, like, actually, you know, Perry's a senator. He had to deal. That's what senators do.
Exactly.
They discuss points.
Right.
And make decisions and
debate. And then they have a dialogue, a legislative dialogue that takes sometimes years, you know, over, you know, one or two issues.
Now, they throw mud from the Bush propaganda machine because they can't, nobody can throw mud back at them because Bush was a governor.
Right.
It took me 4 years. I was plagued with why they did this Willie Horton bit on Dukakis.
Right.
4 years later, they actually tried to do the same thing to Clinton, and they dropped it like a hot potato.
Right.
I remember this like one comment that Bush said that came by about, you know, letting people out of prison, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's because both of those guys were governors,
right?
And Bush 1 never was. This is how the propaganda machine works. They take whatever the job is that these people are doing and throw mud. And they're so stupid that they try to throw, you know, they think that somebody's going to try and throw it back at them.
Yeah, they can't float anything right now, though. I mean, they try to swing all this stuff, the pessimist stuff. They try to question his integrity as a war hero. And now they try to, you know, publish pictures of him in the anti-contamination suit, you know, trying to make him look stupid. God forbid our presidential candidate wants to go into a lab, learn a little something about new technology, and has to wear the appropriate outfit to learn that stuff. You know, meanwhile, we got a president that puts a flight suit on, you know, and a codpiece.
to get out of an airplane that he didn't even fly. I mean, you know, please. You know, it's petty, it's stupid, and it's not sticking. And thanks for your call, Dale.
And we're going to get a lot more of it before this election season is over.
But that was just, like, that was so low and stupid. And you know, if you're a Republican, you ought to be ashamed of those tactics. To publish that picture of John Kerry learning something, educating himself, reaching out to the technological and scientific community to, you know, to make some strides there. You know that's the picture you're going to spread around to call him an idiot? Well, what do you guys do? I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Carlos in Brooklyn, how are you?
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, seditionist. I got to also echo with the media. MSNBC had this nonstop convention coverage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They couldn't find anybody but Joe Scarborough, this sort of disgraced right-wing nut congressman. They couldn't find one Democrat to have up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a host on MSNBC. I've actually done his show.
A hoe is more like it.
Yeah.
All right. Mince no words here on Morning's Edition.
Yeah, and we'll mince no more words. We got my buddy Jim Loftus from the Kerry Bus coming up after this, so stay with us on Air America Radio.
I've got a new show called
Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can hear it.
It's going to be on action.
Sirius 28.
It's skateboarding. It's music. It's action. It's funny. It's not boring.
Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday,
6 Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Exclusively.
On Sirius.
Faction
28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month,
yes,
and your desire to just, you know, ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
We're all hearing a lot about youth violence these days, but you know what? Crime and violence among teens is actually going down. The secret to keeping it down is to help our kids learn about things like self-respect and empathy and how to solve conflicts without resorting to violence. Teach your children how to steer clear of violence. Who knows? You might just save a life. A message from Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the Center for the Prevention of School Violence.
During the next 5 seconds, think about this. How do newborns learn?
Come on, smile for Daddy.
Clap
your hands.
That's right, with their parents, Mom and Dad. Affection and games are important to nurture a baby's self-esteem. But did you know that his developing brain needs even more? Now, if we could hear this baby's brainwave, it might sound like this. On the other hand, the brainwave of a baby who is read to, sung to, and talked to in full sentences would sound more like this. Big difference, isn't it? Scientists have proven that a baby's brain develops better when you read, sing, and speak with complete sentences, especially during the first year of life. So talk to your baby at bath time, read before bedtime, maybe even sing while you're changing diapers. An early start. Now that's smart. A message from El Valor McCormick Tribute Foundation and the Ad Council.
Yeah, Stevie's right. There is superstition. Writing on the wall, the Republicans are going down. Look at, man, look at Edwards and Kerry on the dock in Boston. Sorry,
that's right.
I just ratted ourselves out. We got the no sound TV going right now. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 32. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, I know. We're excited here, too. Kerry's going to be president. I hear the U.S. authorities in Baghdad lost track of $1 billion of your money on reconstruction projects. You don't have any receipts to show where it went. Congratulations. You are now officially a modern democracy. Making vast sums of money disappear is what good government is all about. All right. $1 billion down a rat hole is only the beginning. Wait until you start rebuilding your military. Oh, yeah. You wouldn't believe how much it costs to develop new weapons and security systems to use against your own people. Then there are unilateral illegal wars. And last time we checked, you guys are right next to both Syria and Iran. I know. What a fantastic money pit that's going to be. Yeah, you don't got to tell me. And as your democracy develops, you can funnel money into things like a useless space program, offensive arts projects, enormous dams and highways you don't really need or even subsidize. How about subsidize your farmers for not growing things? There you go. There are 1,000 exciting ways to squander your people's hard-earned tax dollars. But whatever you do, don't fund public health care. All right? That's a killer. Yeah, that is too. I understand. We don't want you to become socialists like Holland. I mean, those clog-wearing bastards. So keep spreading around. Spreading it around. And remember, receipts are for suckers. Good luck and God bless. This is day 32 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. I got my buddies on the bus with the Kerry campaign and the press department. My one of my oldest friends in the world, Jim Loftus. How are you, Jimmy?
Hey, Mark, how are you? We're here at a rally in the north end of Boston, Rangone Park, and it's great.
I know. I'm watching. I got it on TV with no sound. It looks great. Everybody looks great. What a speech last night. Tremendous.
Yeah, it was really something. I'm telling you, there's an electric lifting energy out there right now, and I think that certainly Senator Kerry felt great about the speech last night. We've got great reviews this morning, and we are getting ready to roll across the country.
Right. Who's driving, Kerry or Edwards?
They are swapping off.
Oh, nice. So now do you guys have to play the Bruce Springsteen song all the time on the bus as well, or are there other songs being played?
Yeah, we're trying to break up the soundtrack for this cross-country run, but it has a Cherokeean feel to it. I think we're going to be in about 21 states, 3,500 miles in the next 15 days. We're going by bus to St. Louis and then jumping on a train going all the way out to California.
So I guess Ben Affleck going to be on the bus because his career is sort of in a hole right now.
Say that again.
Is Ben Affleck going to stay on the bus with you for the whole trip?
He's a great supporter.
No, I got nothing against him. I'm glad he's off the sauce, and maybe, you know, when he has time, he'll do a movie that's good. No, he's a great
guy. We're
glad
to have him.
I know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I don't want to put you in a position. So how did you guys choose the destinations? You primarily swing states, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, we're going across the country through battleground states, and we're going to have about 57 rally and other sites. There's no doubt. We want to put our feet in as many battlegrounds as we can in the next couple of weeks. We're going to spend the rest of this campaign bouncing around, I think, exploiting these guys' weaknesses. They're in big trouble if you look at the electoral map, and we're going to those areas right now to pound away at this message.
Well, we're trying to keep them in trouble here.
Very true. Jim Loftus, let me ask you if Senator Kerry has been aware of the media coverage of the convention and if he has any of the problems that certainly we have seen with the media coverage, which we think was kind of slanted and biased against him.
You know, I think from Senator Kerry's perspective, he's letting that stuff roll off his back. He was very, very excited coming off the stage last night. I talked to him briefly. He was this is just a very, very great moment for him. He's in his hometown. He's now the official Democratic nominee. And I think that's something that he's just not engaging in.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the tenor of the coverage.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to let these crowds and our energy speak for itself.
That's beautiful. Hey, Jim, will you hold on for a minute?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll be right back with Jim Loftus after this on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month's supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month's supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, weighing in 380 pounds, Senator Kerry and Edwards. And in this corner, weighing in with whatever's on their mind, the current White House champs, George and Dick.
The convention's on, and the fight's just beginning.
You call yourself a bunch of
pigeons? Pugilist, rhetorical Rottweiler?
Catch full live coverage on Sirius Left, Right, Patriot, and LQ. The DNC's on Sirius.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
You say your vehicle has airbags, high-impact bumpers, and you always wear your seatbelt. So far, so good. But if you should cut in front of an 18-wheeler on the highway and make that truck jam on his brakes, all of your high-tech safety features just might sound like this. It can take a truck twice as long to stop as a car. For your own safety, give those big rigs a lot of room. Remember, tangle with a truck and you lose. A public service message from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
We're talking to my old buddy Jim Loftus, who is on the Kerry bus. He's working in the press area. He's at an event right now. They're launching their tour, their nationwide tour. They're going to a lot of the swing states. They're covering, like, how many miles, Jim?
We're covering about 3,500 miles. It's going to be on the ground the whole way.
That's
beautiful. We're not flying across the country. We're driving and riding the train.
So now, in any particular place, are they both going to speak at all events? Or are they going to, you know, you're going to dispatch Edwards to talk to some people and Kerry to talk to others? How's that going to work? How do you focus the vulnerabilities of the swing states?
Well, we're going to be together for the first few days, both senators, and then at some point, Senator Edwards is going to break off and hit battleground states that are not directly in our route. He's heading Florida, for instance, but generally for this kickoff and at the beginning of this thing, we're going to be together heading out to the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, Senator Edwards will break off in places like Florida and then join back up again.
Is that specifically because he can
trains and Missouri, and heading west from there all the way to California.
Is that specifically because Edwards might be able to speak to rural people in a different way than Kerry would? Is there a reason for breaking them up and sending them to different places?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, when we get to this stage of the campaign, for all intents and purposes, we've been in the general election now for months, which is very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are our resources. There are thousands of media markets in this country, but we want to move both of our candidates, their wives, surrogates, to as many media markets as possible.
Yeah.
We want to go to places to move our positive message and counter their negative message on us, and that's what's going on right now. This part of the campaign is intensely focused on that.
Right.
Jim Loftus, will the campaign, as it travels across the country, continue to hammer at national security issues like he did, like Senator Kerry did during the speech, like Senator Edwards did?
Yes, I think you're going to see that both of these candidates are going to be extremely disciplined about what they're saying. They're going to remain positive, and they're going to continue to pound away at the differences in this ticket and the opposition. What the president has failed to deliver and what we will deliver, come November and beyond.
Well, that sounds great, Jim. So now, when you all get on the bus, are there sing-alongs? Is there anything fun that happens on the bus?
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think, Mark, for the next week or so, we're going to have a bunch of sleeping reporters on the bus.
Oh, really? They're right on the bus with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy.
Some of us will be joining them. I think they literally have had about an hour's sleep from last night. We, as you know, we rolled in here from a bunch of state tours coming into the convention. So it's been an intense level of energy, and you just have to rise to it every day. Even the press traveling with us realize that's what they got to do.
Is Senator Edwards feeling better? He's getting over his cold.
Yeah, he looks great. I talked to him briefly last night backstage, and he just is pumped. He feels good. I think nothing cures a minor ailment like that better than adrenaline.
Yeah, and, Jim, you're an old advanced guy. You're an old hand at this. You know, CNN, apparently, their only response to Kerry's speech was that the balloons didn't come down quick enough. that's the in-depth reporting that CNN was, on top of there. Did you have any notice of that whatsoever? Did anyone even care?
No, I think that's that's a case of, and I'm not saying this just against CNN, but, sometimes people sort of get everything but the main point. And that's a problem with the media like it is with other observers of this race. I think we just move through this stuff and, we're feeling this energy. They can see it, and that will impact the way they perceive this ticket. But, it's been a long road for them as well. And, I think, everyone was tired last night.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were really lifted by it.
Well, thanks for talking to us, Jim. It's great talking to you, man. I miss you, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me. We're on the road. We'll do this again.
Great. Thanks, Jimmy. That was Jim Loftus on the Kerry bus. Do we have time for this, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the morning sedition Friday business report. This week's big news is the Bush administration's proposal to slash at least $500 million a year in Medicare payments to cancer doctors. That means revenues for specialists could decline up to 8%, while payments for some patients' prostate illnesses would be cut in half, just like their prostates. Sure, it sounds like good business, but it gets even better. Now victims of cancer and chronic lung ailments will be forced to get treatments in hospitals far from their homes, rather than they're in their regular physicians' offices. A big plus for wise investors. Car services, bus lines, and ambulance companies will almost certainly see a huge increase in ridership. Gas stations, oil refineries, and tire manufacturers will also get a good, needed shot in the arm. Not to mention all those sympathy card riders. For as long as there are cancer victims being deprived of necessary care, our service-based economy will thrive and prosper. So invest, America, Americans, and keep on getting that cancer. This has been the Morning's Edition Friday Business Report. It was good to talk to Jim, man. It was so funny. He said, people were tired. There were definitely some balloon bag openers that were nodding off, according to CNN. That was the most important thing one could glean from the final and closing speech by the presidential nominee of the United States of America, Doofus Woodruff, Buzzkill Blitzer, and Smarty Pants Greenfield. hey, you know, I think there's a problem with the balloons. There should have been some more balloons coming out. You know, in the past, there have been many more balloons than there were today. You know, the manufacturer of those balloons, I think, is actually an outsourced company. No, that would have been too in-depth for anyone to have that information.
Well, you know, the balloons came down eventually, and we'll see what happens with George W. Bush's candidacy, whether that comes down the same way. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Congressman Barney Frank, Recovery Corner, and, of course, the Liberal Agenda, all here on Air America Radio.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Then.
I am the innocent photograph to delight those who would have melody on the
screen. Now, Sirius, Satellite Fresh, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman, decorated Vietnam-era war vet. Former prosecutor, U.S. Senator, and possibly the next president of the United States, Democrat John Kerry delivered last night a cogent 50-minute address on why America can do better with him running the government. Kerry, even some of his most strident critics agree, gave the speech of his life as he formally accepted the party's nomination for the presidency. Candidate responded to his critics on virtually every issue that has been raised in the course of the campaign. Kerry capitalized on Bush's address to the GOP in the year 2000 by saying help is on the way. At the same time, he questioned what help the president has given in the last 4 years. Democratic nominee also touched on local issues that has had an impact in every municipality in the country, from police department cuts to fire department house closing.
We shouldn't be letting 95% of our container ships come into our ports without ever being physically inspected. We shouldn't be leaving nuclear and chemical plants without enough protection. And we shouldn't be opening firehouses in Baghdad and shutting them in the United States of America.
Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry, as he addressed the party faithful last night on the final night of the Democratic convention. Kerry's wasting no time after a rousing speech. He's already up with other members of his family addressing well wishes this hour in Boston as he's about to embark on a nationwide bus tour. The tour is called Believe in America. Kerry will be hitting a number of states along the way, but the focus will be on the battleground states where some voters remain on the fence. Son of the late Republican President Ronald Reagan was mild during his appearance this week at the Democratic National Convention compared to a stinging article he has written for Esquire magazine next month. Article is a 4,100-word critique of the president and the Bush White House. Ron Reagan called them liars and said the president himself is ineloquent, not because he cannot speak, but because he does not bother to think. There's word that the former coalition provisional authority in Iraq, under the control of U.S. civilian authorities, failed to keep a good track of nearly $1 billion in Iraqi money spent for reconstruction projects. At the same time, the CPA can't produce records to show for it. Agency now dissolved spent money on services and products that is not that it cannot produce. An example of the bungled record keeping was the purchase of $200,000 worth of 15 police trucks without confirming they were actually delivered. The auditors, just the same, cannot locate them. Officials also failed to come up with the records to justify the $24.7 million price tag for replacing Iraqi currency, which used to carry a portrait of Saddam Hussein. The release of the documents yesterday was the first formal audit of contracting procedures under the CPA. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It all
all kicks off on Monday. Your reason for living. It keeps Bud, Coors, and Miller in business. It's the reason Cheetos, Doritos, and Tostitos were invented. Without it, you'd be helping your wife around the house on Sunday afternoons. We've been telling you it's coming, and it's the biggest thing ever. And it's about to go live. This Monday, join us for NFL Radio, exclusively on Sirius 124.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Lori is a military wife and wants to know if they should buy a home. My advice next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Lori's husband is in the military, so they move often. She emails wanting to know if they should buy a home. We know that for the next 10 or so years, we will move about once every 2 years. Should we wait to buy a home until his military retirement? Yes, is a good answer. And here's why. Very few areas of the country go up enough in value on real estate to where you don't lose money by staying in the home only 2 years. In other words, if you own it 2 years, it doesn't go up enough to keep you from losing money by the time you buy and sell. Plus, the economy may be slow at the particular time you're trying to sell. Interest rates may be a little up. It makes it hard to sell. Then you may end up with a rental property long distance, which is not a plan. And so there's always lots of homes on the market around military bases, which keeps it from appreciating as much as it might in some other areas. I'm all about owning real estate, but I'm not all about it owning you, and this is a good way for it to end up owning you.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dan.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty. That flag doesn't belong to any president. It doesn't belong to any ideology. It doesn't belong to any party. It belongs to all the American people.
There is not a black America and a white America. There's the United States of America.
The future doesn't belong to fear. It belongs to freedom.
Daughter who's serving this country heroically in Iraq calls, you tell them hope is on the way.
In all due respect, Mr. President, read my lips. Our vote is not for sale.
For the brave men and women in uniform who risk their lives and for their families who pray for their return. For all those who believe that our best days are ahead of us with great faith in the American people, I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
out of the gate and running.
Oh, yeah.
In a good way. Running across the country to deliver the message. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley. You're listening to...
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Tremendous. Tremendous momentum.
It's a good day, man. I mean, he blew it. I shouldn't say he blew it. He blew through that speech last night. He's getting ready to blow across the country. He's going to hit these states where he needs to hit. He's going to talk to the people he needs to talk to. And I believe when it's all said and done, there's going to be an active, energized, enthusiastic group of people going to the polls and electing this guy president of the United States.
I feel excited. And right now we're going to talk to a congressman from the 4th District of Massachusetts, a guest of the show before. Barney Frank is on the phone. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How do you feel about Kerry's speech? He deliver?
Yeah, very much so. Frankly, it was at the high end of expectation. John Kerry's a first-rate public servant, but this kind of inspirational oratory hasn't been his strong point. It's not the strong point of all of us. That's not a criticism. It's just last night he was really under the gun to produce, and I believe he did it. I thought the speech was both very well thought out and very well delivered.
It was very clear, and all the policy points he made were great. Do you think that being in Massachusetts, your home state, and his made a difference and made him more confident?
No. No, I don't think. You're talking about a man who's been in this line of work for a long time.
Sure.
Making this important speech, I think he could have been in Ashtabula or Mars, and it wouldn't have been any difference.
Well, he's going to be, so I'm hoping that he delivers that message, you know, as efficiently as he did last night across the country.
Congressman Frank, do you think that we're seeing a rollout of a specific John Kerry strategy in speaking, for example, to national security, in speaking to some of the areas that polls are saying that he has some weakness in?
Oh, absolutely, and that's perfectly reasonable if you're in an election. And, you know, one of the things that's really quite wrong that people say is, oh, this is an election, I'm your strongest supporter, you shouldn't take me for granted. If I am running in a tough race and I can't take my strongest supporters for granted, I am certain to lose. John Kerry has been in the Senate for 20 years. His environmental record is superb.
Yeah.
His support for gay and lesbian rights goes back to his very first days in the Senate on choice and a number of other very important issues for core groups within our party and our coalition. He's first rate. He should not be wasting his time, frankly, reassuring people for the 809th time that he's still with them. What you try to do is to take the values that you embody and show people who are undecided how you will resolve things that are important to them within the framework of those values. So, yeah, that's what you should be doing in a campaign. Going to the people who are undecided and giving them reasons to vote for you.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Frank, do you believe that John Kerry has enough surrogates? He can't be everywhere between now and November. Does he have enough effective surrogates within the Democratic Party to get his message to people where he might not be able to deliver it personally?
Very much so, and that goes back to my first point. I think with regard to a variety of the groups who clearly have an interest in John Kerry versus George Bush, people who care about labor unions and people who care about the legal rights of working people, women who think that they should be able to make their own decisions about reproduction, people concerned with the continuation of the fight against the lingering effects of racism. All of us people understand that John Kerry versus George Bush is a very easy choice, and that should free up Kerry to go to the people who are skeptical and have to be unconvinced. And people, you know, people on the liberal side shouldn't regard this as somehow an abandonment of them. It's an effort to bring strength to our cause. And if you think John Kerry, as I do, is right on gay rights and on choice and on the environment and on a whole range of other very tough issues, then it's in our interest for him to be able to go to people who are not as engaged on those issues, who have some doubts about other questions, and bring them over to us.
Yeah, I have a problem with some liberals who just, they can't see that, you know, just the fact that John Kerry being in office is going to be 100% change for this country.
Well, you just go right down the line. Look at the anti-choice legislation that George Bush signed, which he signed the assault on gay rights. He's begun to undo some of the things that Bill Clinton, George Bush has a guy he appointed who's in charge of enforcing anti-discrimination laws for federal employees. And he's trying to roll back what Bill Clinton made very explicit, that if you're gay or lesbian, you work with the federal government, you're being discriminated against, you can get some protection. So, you know, in area after area, that's good. And then you go to the Supreme Court. Look, there are three very important recent decisions of the Supreme Court for liberals. The one upholding affirmative action, the one that said it's not a crime constitutionally for two adults to have consenting sex in private, and the reaffirmation of the pro-choice decisions. If you look at the Supreme Court, the age is who's likely to quit. All three of those decisions will almost certainly be overruled if George Bush is reelected. That alone ought to energize an awful lot of Democrats.
Yeah, you would hope so. And just the fact that, you know, his lack of respect for the church and state separation in terms of the
That's
people.
That's a good point and very frightening. You know, what he is saying is really particularly disturbing. Now, you know, we are trying to talk about fanatics and people who have no respect for unbelievers, as they call them. Well, in a much more benign way, nobody's going to kill. The Bush people are buying into sort of that philosophy because their argument is this. They want to give federal tax dollars paid into by everybody to religious organizations for purely secular purposes, for drug treatment, for building housing, for helping feed people, for daycare. And they want the churches with the federal tax money to be able to discriminate in hiring and to hire only people of their own particular religion and their own version of that religion. And you say, why? It's, well, they answer, you know, you can't expect people to work together in these charities if they have to associate with people of other religions. Frankly, I find that just appalling.
Yeah.
To reinforce with federal dollars the notion that it's somehow an imposition on people to ask them to help build housing or serve meals with people of other religions.
Important point. Congressman Bonnie Frank, can the Republicans at this point do anything but go negative on John Kerry when they get together for their convention? Obviously, the senator tried to keep this convention on a positive note. There was a minimum of bashing of the president. What do you think is going to happen when the Republicans meet?
Well, I think you are right that they can't do anything but go negative for two reasons. First of all, they really have virtually nothing positive to talk about. They can't boast about Iraq. What they say about Iraq is, well, you know, it's not as much as of a disaster as it was or as it might have been. And as far as the economy, what they're saying is, well, we've staunched the loss of jobs and we're starting to grow, although the growth is in a very unevenly distributed one. And even Alan Greenspan has said all of the increased wealth that we've been generating lately is going to pre-tax corporate profits, and none of it is showing up in wages. Real wages are going down. So with all that, yeah, I think they are going to have to go negative. But frankly, it's also their instincts to go negative. Carl Rove, Tom DeLay, Rick Santorum, these are very negative people. These are people, and I don't understand it. They get into politics, I think, frankly, to kind of cut down other people.
Yeah.
People whose main goal in politics seems to be to demonize and take rights away. And so this is their natural bent.
Right. It's all about control with them. Thanks a lot, Congressman Frank. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, guys.
You take care.
That was Congressman Barney Frank from Massachusetts. Powerful words. We'll be back with some sound of John Kerry kicking ass after this on Air America. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog too.
It's not a secret. Our health insurance system is falling apart. And here's a reality check. Over the past 2 years, about 82 million Americans lacked coverage for at least part of that time. Since the mid-1970s, the number of uninsured Americans has increased at a rate of almost 1 million a year. Both employers and employees are spending more and more on healthcare, squeezing their budgets, and hurting our economy. People without insurance don't get the care they need. One recent study shows that 18,000 working-age Americans die each year as a consequence of not having insurance. This shouldn't happen in the United States. We should do better. And we can. At the Century Foundation, we have creative ideas for providing health insurance for all Americans. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events.
Here's Peter B. Collins.
David DeBato, re-up for military service, was rejected, rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, you know, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Good morning, it's Mark Maron on Morning's Edition. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
We're hanging out, we're fleshing it out, we're getting to the core of things, talking a lot about the dummies at CNN and the way they pandered to the Republicans and allowed them, you know, into the halls of... everyone should be allowed, but, you know, don't, you know, Ralph Reed giving him 8 minutes of airtime after Edwards speaks, you know, trivializing Al Sharpton because of time issues. You know, we've talked about this all morning, and I want to talk more about Kerry. I don't need to yell about the media. We also got a story here.
This is a real interesting story.
After I do the pom pom, we're going to talk about Tom Ridge. Some of the bloggers have been, you know, festering about it for the last 2.5 hours. Not that I've been paying attention to their conversation, but I check in occasionally. Welcome aboard. MorningSedition.com is where you can join the community. And they also will take care of you if you're trolling. Here's the schedule for today, the palm pilot for this morning. Here's what President Bush is up to. 6 a.m., wake up, stay on message. No retreat, baby. No surrender. That damn Kerry, I can't get that song out of my head now. 7 a.m., call Karl Rove. Order more balloons for Republican convention. Must not have convention balloon gap. 8 a.m., call producers. Have them insert footage from Top Gun into 10-minute convention film about my National Guard service. 9:05 a.m., speak at Southwestern Missouri State University, Springfield, Missouri. Blame John Kerry for cancellation of Hee-Haw. All right. 3:25 p.m., speak at Grand Rapids Community College, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Tell them, I'm spending more time at colleges than I spent at college. Yeah. 6:15 p.m., speak to athletes of the International Children's Games, Cleveland, Ohio. Tell them John Kerry wants to overregulate hopscotch, dodgeball, and especially Jacks and Game Boys. How's that? Ooh. Then pass the hat for donations. 8:10 p.m., fundraising dinner, private residence, Kirkland, Ohio. Tell guests that depending on the size of the contributions, that Ohio is definitely in the running for best swing state in the upper Midwest. 10 p.m., bedtime in Cleveland. No retreat, baby. No surrender. Damn! Must get song out of my head. The itsy bitsy spider went up. Ah, that's better. Oh, my God, it's been so important and urgent today, this morning.
It's been one of those days.
We got the buzz on. We got the Obama buzz. We got the Sharpton buzz. And now the Killer Kerry buzz. A little bit of the Edwards buzz remaining. And we've got, you know, I talked to liberals. I talked to people. I talked to one of our writers just today. Who, like, you know, now that, you know, right away, right when Kerry, you know, just kicks some ass, comes out and does the business.
Does the do.
They're like, yeah, but when he gets in, how's he going to address campaign contributions? You know, what's he going to do about, you know, being owned by corporations? They all kind of pander to corporations. They're all corporate whores. That may be in some cases, but let us not underestimate the power of a Kerry presidency. Just by virtue of him being in there, the entire tone of culture changes. Let's not forget liberal causes are also, you know, civil rights, environmental issues. You can't change everything all at once, but to stop the melding of church Appalachian State, to stop the appointment of conservative judicial seats, to stop, you know, certain environmental deregulations that are, you know, fast-forwarding the decline of the planet, to stop the infringement of civil rights and the amending of the Constitution. These are important. Try not to be a buzzkill. Try not to be like, yeah, all right, so what if Kerry gets into office? It's not going to make that much of a difference. They're both the same. They're not the same. Shut up. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Like, you're right now, let's talk about it. Because, you know, Kerry had the nads to address, and see, I said shut up like Riley. I apologize. That's not what I mean. How about this? Hey, could you stifle it a little bit?
Just a minute.
Could we turn it down a little bit and just try and get the guy in office, and then we'll address your, you know, the nuance of corporate campaign contributions, the nuance complaints,
yes.
You know, after we get him into office. All right. But here's something he did address, and he had some nads on this in addressing, you know, George Bush's corporate affiliations. Can we hear that bite there, Chris?
You don't value families by kicking kids out of after school programs and taking cops off the streets so that Enron can get another tax break. We believe in the family value of caring for our children and protecting the neighborhoods where they walk and they play. And that is the choice in this election. You don't value families by denying real prescription drug coverage to seniors so big drug companies can get another windfall profit. We believe in the family value expressed in one of the oldest commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. As president, I will not privatize Social Security. I will not cut benefits, and together we will make sure that senior citizens never have to cut their pills in half because they can't afford life-saving medicine, and that is a choice in this election.
See that? I think he's definitely, if you're unclear about what Kerry's going to do for the country, read the speech, read the transcript. If you're unclear about who Kerry is, read the speech, read the transcript, watch it. Try not to watch it on CNN because they ruin everything. Apparently, the most important thing to the anchors at CNN after Kerry spoke was, you know, why didn't the balloons fall down? Yeah, how about this? Why are you people so stupid that you can't find any other, you know, that's all. Anyways, Mark, let's go into some of this policy stuff.
Well, there's a whole bunch of policy stuff, but before we get into that, we should let our audience know that some of George Bush's own people aren't exactly benefiting from the economic recovery.
Oh, yeah, this is a great story.
Tom Ridge, you know him, the guy that looks like Clutch Cargo, who is in charge of Homeland Security.
Right, the guy after the 9/11 commission came out, the report came out, and the Republicans said, we're going to get a czar for Homeland
Security.
He was like,
what about me?
Hey, I thought it was you guys.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he said there are reports now that he may step down. Guess why, Mark Maron?
Why? Because no one cares about him?
No.
Why?
He's not making enough money.
There you go. How much is he making, Riley?
He's making $175,700.
How many kids does he have?
He has got teenagers, two of them, Tommy Jr. and Leslie, and he needs to put them through college.
Wow, it doesn't seem like $175,700 is enough to put two kids in college, pay for your mortgage, and keep your wife happy, does it?
Well, it, apparently, unlike Dick Cheney and many of the other people in the Republican administration.
He doesn't have $1 billion?
No, he doesn't. He hasn't been salting things away through all of these years. They say that he has relatively little savings from his career in government. When he left the Pennsylvania governorship, he was earning $138,000 a year. He owns an $873,000 home. How do you do that on 138 long?
No, I don't know. Why don't you ask
yourself? Wait. $800,000 house on $138,000 salary?
What's his mortgage got to be? 15 like, grand a month?
Well, the mortgage is $784,800.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
If it's like 15 years, and I don't know if they give him a 30 if he's 58.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if it's 15 years, if you do the math, he's paid a huge nut.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess maybe he doesn't want to send his kids to the Satone Institute.
Right.
So he's got to, you know, he's got to try, oh, no rap on the Satone Institute, you understand?
Right.
He wants to send his kids to an accredited college, I suppose. So it's going to cost him money. Now, his people are saying, well, look, you know, he is focused on the job that the president asked him to do. But has he gone to the president and asked for a raise?
Right.
You know, look, man, I can't get by on what you're paying me.
And the president
either give me more money or I'm out.
Didn't you get the $200 we got, the tax rebate?
The tax rebate, yeah.
Yeah, you could buy, maybe you and your family could go to the movies and have some dinner.
I guess maybe he didn't earn enough to get that big tax break like Bill Clinton and him, huh?
I guess not.
It's a shame. Well, hey, you know, this is how other people have to live their lives, Tom Ridge. Not everybody gets to float through life on, you know, on six, seven figures a year. Other people have to make do on five figures a year.
Yeah.
Got to educate more kids than you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
And scholarships are a finite thing. So, hey, welcome to the world, Tom Ridge.
Yeah, really. It's just like, what's he going to do now? What's Tom Ridge going to do? Did he make an impact enough to have the lucrative speaking career?
Not if he can't move his body along with his lips. I'm not sure he can do the speaking, but he just stands there. Coming up, Recovery Corner. And you on the telephones. This is Air America Radio. The number, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The spate of kidnappings across Iraq has forced the interim government to pull the brakes on a major national conference which had been billed as one of the first steps towards a democracy and national reconciliation. The decision was made just as the State Secretary Colin Powell arrived in Iraq for a series of talks with government figures. A Reagan calls Bush ineloquent not because he cannot speak, but because he does not bother to think. Ron Reagan addressed the Democratic Convention this week on stem cell research, billing the address as non-political, but the son of the revered former Republican president saved his red meat attacks on George W. Bush for an Esquire magazine article to hit the stands next month. Democrat John Kerry delivered the speech of his lifetime last night as he embarks on the final phase of his quest for the White House. Even his most strident critics conceded it was a good speech. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Yeah, I'll take the Mayhem in the AM breakfast special. What do I get with that? No. The Mayhem in the AM. The great morning show, it's... What the... No, the one with Steak Shapiro, Mike Bell, and Nick Cellini. No, it's Guy Talk. Morning sports with an edge. Oh, my God, come on!
Mayhem in the AM. Sports talk anyone can understand. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Ron wonders if he should sell his car to help with a down payment for a home. My advice next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Ron sell his car to help with his house down payment?
Question deals with my wife and I considering purchasing a home. We could sell a vehicle we own to come up with a bigger down payment.
Is it an extra vehicle?
Yes, it is extra.
Okay, why do you have it?
Want and desire, I don't know. We just
What is it?
It's a 03 GMC minivan.
And your household income's what?
33.
All right, and the 03 is paid for?
Yes.
And it's worth what?
22 and a half.
Regardless of what you do with the money, I would sell it. I am positive it's very difficult to build wealth when you have over half your annual income tied up in things that are going down in value like a rock. So that's a bad use of your income. I'm not against you having a nice car. I'm against the nice car having you. And in this case, you're talking about, should I use that for a down payment on a house? Absolutely, because the house is going to go up.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Mark Maron here on Morning's Edition, Air America Radio, fighting the urge to lash out at the blog.
Go ahead, lash.
Nah, I got nothing. I'm just happy they're all there sharing their opinions and ideas. I like a lot of them. Just every once in a while, somebody will throw something in there.
Drives you crazy, right?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad today. We've got bigger fish to fry.
That's right.
And not frying. Well, you know what it was? Some guy made a comment about the balloons, about me being like that, I'm getting a little crazy about the balloons. Look, you know, I have a sense of humor that goes on both sides. I just thought, you know, given the rest of the coverage, that the fact that they got hung up on whether or not the balloons came down or not was indicative of the entire coverage of the event. I was using it as sort of a lens to see the innocuousness of their coverage and even the dangerous elements of their coverage in terms of who they let speak and what they chose to address. That's what I was doing with the balloon thing, buddy. I have a cassette to Uber about both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure I do. I was just using it. If you've been listening since 6, which you should, really, if you're going to make comments about, you know, what's being said now, I got to tell you, you have to listen to the entire 3 hours of the show.
Or else.
I'm kidding, man. You want to take some calls?
Well, yeah, and we've got to talk about some of the key points.
We'll throw a couple out, and then we'll take a call.
All right. Let's talk about some of the key points that he hit on last evening. Let's talk about the economy. Incentives to revitalize manufacturing. This has been one of the great negative, untold stories of the last 30 years in this country. America's manufacturing base has disappeared before our very eyes. We don't make anything anymore here.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about really putting some money to getting companies to do the investment in building new manufacturing plants in this country. Now, that doesn't involve, by the way, paying people what you pay some Chinese guy on an assembly line in Beijing, where they're making like nothing for making the same TVs. You got to pay people a living wage in this country
and give them a little health coverage.
Yeah, yeah. And he's also talking about investing in technology and innovation to create good-paying jobs.
Oh, you mean that's maybe what he was doing when he was wearing the anti-contamination suit? Was doing a little research into some of his ideas about how we can make technology and science better.
Better. That would be a good part of it. And by the way, Europe, the European Union, does a much better job at helping government help private industry to create those good-paying jobs than we do in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The Europeans actually take government money and invest in technology, invest in innovation. That's why everybody screams like stuck pigs about the what is the name of that? The Airbus, which is manufactured by a consortium of European countries.
Right.
And Boeing is always screaming, oh, it's unfair competition. Well, what they did was get together and say, okay, we're going to put some money together in building a world-class airplane, and that's exactly what they've done. He wants to close these tax loopholes that reward companies for shipping jobs overseas.
Nice.
You know,
that's a big thing. That's it's an important issue to a lot of working people in this country, and he's answering them. Phil,
yes.
Staten Island, what's up?
Hey,
here
Phil.
We go. How are
you? I wanted to respond when you were saying that somebody said was saying to you, because they say it to me too. Oh, well, Kerry, how much can he do, and all that.
Yeah.
If all he does is scale back the tax cut to some extent.
Yeah.
If all he does is reverse some of these things that Bush has done, like opening up millions of acres of wildlife to development, et cetera, our children and grandchildren are way ahead of the game. People forget this. You don't have a perfect situation where somebody can come in and magically change everything.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very important point.
That it's my belief that, you know, just getting him into office is going to make this country 99% better. That's how I feel about it. Gail, how are you in New Jersey, Gail?
Hi, Gail.
Very good, thank you.
Hey.
Love your show.
Thank you.
My comment is this, and it's about this Republican idiotic flap about Kerry taking a camera with him to Vietnam.
I think discredited. The stuff on the Drudge Report, they got nothing.
Well, if he had the foresight to take an 8mm camera with him so he could use it, the footage 35 later in his presidential campaign,
yeah,
then this is the man that I want to get into the military and planning my future.
Yeah, if he had that much foresight, you're absolutely right. Thank you. That's a great point, Gail. And, you know, I spoke about this yesterday, but I was speculating yesterday, and it turns out I was right, is that, look, you know, a lot of guys had 8mm cameras, they had Nikon cameras, there were a lot of cameras over there that were cheaper than you could get here, and it was very common for these guys to take footage. We got an email from a woman whose husband is a Vietnam vet. He took a bunch of pictures. A lot of times they went back to where they'd been to pose and where they'd been. It was, you know, this is nothing. This is Drudge and the Republicans sending up a balloon that's nothing. There's nothing in it. You know what I mean? It's like, lay off. You got nothing. The guy was a war hero. The guy did his duty. The guy served on his choice, unlike this president. He got some pictures. Even if he posed a couple of pictures, who cares? He was there. He was there taking bullets and shooting things up and fighting for our country. Come on.
Not only that, he bought the camera over there. He didn't buy it here and bring it there.
As I said before, when bullies get cornered, they turn into babies. We'll be right back on Air America Radio with your calls.
Okay.
And
I'm Tony Hawk. And I've got a new show called
Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio!
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can hear
it's
it.
It's going to be on action!
Serious 28.
It's skateboarding, it's music, it's action, it's funny, it's not boring.
Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Exclusively.
On Sirius. Faction 28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Melvin A. Goodman, professor of international security at the National War College.
I don't think there's ever been a greater intelligence scandal than the one we're living through. This is, to me, worse than the intelligence failure at Pearl Harbor, worse than the intelligence failure with regard to not understanding the weakness of the Soviet Union. In some ways, it's worse than 9/11, which was indeed an intelligence failure in which 3,000 people died. But to take this country to war, to manipulate the Congress of the United States, to manipulate the American people, and it's still being done, even though David Kay made it clear that essentially every intelligence assessment of the CIA was wrong. Where I disagree with Mr. Kay is that he believes that George Bush was a victim of this intelligence, which I think really is somewhat naive and nonsensical on David Kay's part. Bush wasn't the victim of this intelligence. He was the one who manipulated this intelligence.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Religious hatred has a grim scorecard. Over 300,000 people across this earth murdered in the past 5 years in the name of religion. How to end this needless suffering and death, this misuse of religion? Remember, we are all members of the human family, no matter what our faith. All the great communities of belief teach a common concept. We should treat others as we wish to be treated. Practice that concept. This message from the Tannenbaum Foundation for Interreligious Understanding.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
It's been good. It's been a good morning, Mark Riley.
Absolutely.
Mark Maron here, Morning Sedition. Ah, this song is good. I remember this. It's kind of, is that, who is that? Yeah. Okay. Harvey Danger.
Harvey Danger?
Really? That's a good song. I mean, it's catchy. See, it's that poppy stuff. Sometimes it sticks in my head. Now it's going to stick in my head. We got a phone number that you might want to use. 866-303-2270 is the number to call us here. they got a new drug on the market that, to treat alcoholism, you know, but I know as an alcoholic in recovery that if the drug doesn't enable you to drink like normal people, we want nothing to do with it. Apparently the drug just, you know, it makes it easier not to drink. You know, where's the drug that'll let me drink like a regular person? So I mentioned I'm an alcoholic. I am Mark, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Thank you very much.
I've been waiting for that.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm in recovery corner. I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. Hey, buddy, it took me a few days to realize it and put it together, but now I see it very clearly. You're drinking again, aren't you? The crazy moments, the defensiveness, the isolation. You're back on the jug, aren't you, George? Come on. I get it. Why wouldn't you be? You're under a lot of stress. You don't have many personal resources. Plus, you're surrounded by people who don't really care about you. I mean, who are you going to turn to? Cheney, Laura, Rove, Rummy? How about Mr. Jack Daniels? Yeah, I get it. I get it. I understand. See, if you were in an active recovery, maybe you would have had some tools to stand up to this thing. All right, so look. Let's deal with it. Maybe you have to hit another bottom. I understand that. Maybe you should just go ass wild for a while, get it out of your system. I mean, you're clearly going to crash sometime in November or December. Clearly, you're going to, I mean, you know, most likely right after the debates, actually. And then hopefully, we'll see you back in the rooms in January, because you'll have a lot of time to put into your recovery, and I'll be there for you, all right? But right now, I'm not angry, a little disappointed, but that's, I don't want to guilt trip you, all right? We all got to do what you got to do. Sometimes the bottoms aren't low enough. Call me if you need me, all right? I'm here. 866-303-2270. Don't drink. Get to a meeting.
There you go.
All right. Who do we got here? Lori. Oh, in Queens. We're out in my neighborhood. How are you, Lori?
Okay. How are you?
Hey, Lori.
Very well.
First of all, I love the show, but I have two quick things I wanted to mention. About the whole thing with the cable coverage of the convention. We stopped watching it on MSNBC. My husband is a Chris Matthews fan. We stopped watching after Monday night when they talked straight through John Alston's speech.
Right. What is that?
I mean, it was ridiculous, and it wasn't until I heard the full speech, Randy Rhodes played it on Tuesday.
Oh, David Alston, Reverend Alston.
Wasn't his name John Alston?
I thought it was David.
Well, anyway, Reverend Alston, right. They just plowed right through it. They were just so busy talking that we were like, where's the speech?
Well, they think they're more important. They're all very self-centered people.
Absolutely. And the other thing I just wanted to say was last night when we were listening to the speech, I was completely sleep-deprived, so I might have missed something. But Terry said one thing that troubled me, and that was he said something about and allowing our citizens to buy cheaper drugs from other countries like Canada if necessary. And my thought was, isn't the point to get the prices lower?
In this country?
Domestically, yeah.
That's an interesting, it's an interesting question. It certainly would address just how powerful the pharmaceutical industry is if that even the guy running for president realized that the pharmaceutical industry is so powerful, we can't even hope to negotiate with them. That's how much they've got this country by the nads. We're going to have to make it okay for people to go to Canada because clearly the way the pharmaceuticals companies have had a stronghold on this country's health care is impenetrable. I hope you're not
but
right.
But you know
what,
though?
Point.
No, no. It's a good point, but understand this as well. If people have unimpeded access to drugs from Canada, that may be the only way
to get,
you can get the pharmaceuticals here to go down because people won't buy them here.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe that's it's almost a rebellious act.
Well, yeah, it's competition.
That's what they call it in regular business language, which I know nothing about. Patrick in Miami, how are you?
Hey, Patrick.
Hi.
First off, I'd like to welcome you guys to Miami.
Oh, great
to
be here.
It's such a breath of fresh air to listen to rational thinking.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks for having us.
My second thing is, between the John Edwards speech and the John Kerry speech, I actually have hope for my 6-year-old and my 16-month-old.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's good.
That's beautiful.
But on a lighter note, I cannot wait to watch the comedy show that takes place when the debates go on and we have an articulate senator debating.
I know. Debating stuttering George.
Is he going to have an earpiece with Dick Cheney in his ear? What do I say now, Dick?
I think they've actually got a remote that they actually drew. It goes right into his head. He's the Manchurian candidate. There's a transmitter in there. Thanks for your call, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That is going to be something, those debates.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Isn't it? He's going to be like, he'll just be stuck in the middle. John Kerry will respond to something. He'll go,
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
I'm a war president.
Uh-oh, he's
I
stuck.
Be the peace president.
Hey, somebody.
I'm a war president.
Just smack him upside the head.
President.
Smack him upside the head. Just smack
the peace president.
There you go.
We're a nation of law. We have
He's
laws.
Not, yeah, there you go.
We have laws on
he's
the
He's got
books.
Something else going.
Next.
Hey, Hey, what's wrong with him? I think you broke him.
I'm sure something will pop in my head here.
I don't understand.
I think
he's broken.
Next.
I think he's broken. Wow, that was weird.
Wow.
That happens.
That's a hell of a montage you just did, though.
That happens when you got a bad machine. Hey, Jeff in Pennsylvania, how you doing?
What's up, Jeff?
Oh, hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, I thought one of the best moments for me was when, I think it was Vanessa Carey, was talking about how future President Kerry was taking care of his dying mother.
Yeah.
And he comes to her bedside and says, I've decided to run for president. She said, it's about time. like everybody who knew him as he was coming up saying, he's going to be president someday. He's going to be president someday. And it's about time.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it was a very touching story. The whole night was just a beautiful lead up to what turned out to be an awesome speech. And anybody who criticizes a guy, like the Republicans will, because they have nothing but slander and fear to operate with at this point. They certainly don't have a record to draw from.
Don't forget the bile, though.
Yeah,
plenty of that.
That falls under the conservative umbrella, under the Republican umbrella of fear and slander. There's bile, there's shame, there's
spittle.
There's unilateral might. But the one thing they say is that, like, they try to paint Kerry as this guy who's, like, they're criticizing him. Like, even with the woman was addressing with the war footage, like, he knew he was going to be president. Well, that's, the guy had a dream, and he's actually living it. Clinton had the same dream as well.
Yep.
He wanted to be president for as long as he could remember. Most kids, at some point, say they want to be president when the president inspires them to say that. I don't know how many people, said that in the last 4 years, unless they were, sort of people that just wanted to help make their friends money or, treat people badly and lie. But
Democrat's dream is a Bush family nightmare.
Yeah. But
that's
maybe the bullies. Maybe George Bush inspired a lot of bully kids to want to be president. But clearly John Kerry, he had the focus, he had the ambition, he worked hard in school, he excelled at sports, he excelled in every area of his life, took chances, was loyal to his country, was loyal to his family, was not afraid to question authority, to question, the war in the 60s. I mean, this is a guy that's really lived an American life. And also, really, his ambition is coming to fruition now.
His guy, we ought to be glad that this is a guy who really had a decision, made a decision to get into public service.
Yeah, it's great because he's been an amazing senator for 20 years. We're going to be back after this with the Dog of the Week here on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe to AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'm Tony Hawk, and I've got a
new show called
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 2 Pacific. You can hear
it's
it.
It's gonna be on action.
Sirius 28.
It's skateboarding. It's music. It's action. It's funny. It's not boring.
Tony Hawk's
Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday,
6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively
on Sirius Faction 28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
All right, your 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat down, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. With guy guards,
Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in it.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
If you had invested $50 in a mutual fund 20 years ago, you would have gotten back $452. If you had invested $50 in the United Negro College Fund, you would have gotten back someone like Michael Jordan. So support the United Negro College Fund and let a kid profit from a college education. Please call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service message from the United Negro College Fund and the Ad Council.
We're fighting for our lives here. Why aren't they talking like this?
And don't put me on the air, please.
Why aren't they talking? We're fighting for our lives.
Right now, it's time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week. What do you got, Mark?
All right. Well, this week's dog isn't a person. It's an institution. If we could extend our distinctive award to include all the media and their coverage of this week's Democratic National Convention, we would. Collectively, it was a disgrace and buried once and for all the myth of media liberalism. When it comes to ridiculous coverage, however, one network stood out all week long. Mm. CNN is perceived as being liberal in its coverage of events. Is that why they bent over backwards to slant their convention coverage to the right? After Vice Presidential nominee John Edwards spoke Wednesday night, who did CNN look to for insight? Republican toady and Christian fundamentalist Ralph Reed. Mm. And don't even talk about their coverage of the Reverend Al Sharpton's rousing address to the delegates. There wasn't any. Wolf Blitzer, Judy Woodruff, and crew couldn't be bothered dealing with substance. Their only concern was whether Sharpton threw the convention's timetable off. Turns out, he did not, but thanks for caring, folks.
Yeah.
Then, after Kerry's speech, they went to a critique by RNC boss Ed Gillespie. All this, we think, might be an effort to portray the network as balanced, like their competition, the Fox News Channel. Nice try. And then, the finishing touch of 4 days of embarrassing coverage.
Yeah.
The balloon fiasco. CNN somehow managed to keep an open mic as a DNC tech person yelled and cursed about the slow pace of the balloon drop. The CNN crew wasted more valuable time talking about this nonsense. For their slavish devotion to the coverage of the trivial, CNN is the morning sedition dog of the week.
Yeah.
There goes my shot at the big time.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. I think, Chris, do we even have that thing?
Which one?
CNN thing. We may have that somewhere.
We do have them, the guy cussing about the balloons?
Yeah.
Number.
Well, those balloons are coming down. What you heard was the voice of John Mishra. He's the director for the Democratic Party, the organizer of this convention. He's been giving instructions to let the balloons come down. There are thousands. In fact, these balloons are about to land on our heads here on the floor of the convention.
Some powerful commentary.
Woo.
That's right. And I'm just using this as an example to illustrate the rest of the commentary. You know, I know I got a little criticism by the bloggers.
Oh, really?
MorningSedition.com if you want to get involved in that.
What, you mean to join in the criticism?
Sure, criticism, not criticism, join in the party. There's a lot of good people out there talking, hanging out. Every once in a while, someone will come in and, just spout out some righty talking points.
Oh, yeah.
How about the curse? Do you have the guy cursing about the balloons?
Oh, yeah.
Reacting to? This was on the air on CNN, and they cut it out in the second edition of it.
All balloons, where in the hell is nothing falling? What the f*** are you guys doing up there?
Where are those balloons?
Where did he get his talking points from? Dick Cheney?
Yeah, you know, the vice president.
Yeah,
dude, this has been a good morning, man.
Yeah, it sure
and a
has.
Good week. You know, really an inspirational Democratic National Convention. I was deeply moved by so many of the speeches. You know, I'm gonna probably go home and watch a few of them later.
No, you're not. You're getting out of. Oh, wait a minute. Are you leaving town this weekend?
Yeah. I am. I'm going to Los Angeles for a couple of days. I'm gonna see my wife.
There you go.
There is the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound, of course. Here you go. Write these down. This is for the weekend. 1, recycle convention balloons into scented peace condoms. 2, red phone booth for Green Party convention. 3, criticize Kerry's speech for not once mentioning our cross-dressing troops. 4, attend poetry slam. 2 hours of free verse about the Sudanese refugees should kill any post-convention optimism. 5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, sure, Kerry goes on and on about his precious hamsters, so I guess the prairie dogs can just go screw themselves, huh? That's typical. Senators John and John, Godspeed, great job. We're behind you 100%.
That's right, and don't think for a minute that Colin Powell being in Baghdad can actually trump the actual news of what took place at that convention. Coming up on Monday's Morning Edition, we're going to be checking back with the Kerry Victory Tour with a live report from our man on the bus, Jim Loftus, live from the Kerry Bus Tour. That's Monday's Morning Edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good weekend, Marin.
You too, Riley.